Motorcycle Man.
Are you ready?
We're always ready. No, we're not ready. Oh, yeah, we're ready. Okay, ready. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Motorcycle Man podcast. This is Ted. This is episode number 128. Ooh. Yeah. We're here in the V-Twin Cafe over in the corner booth. Can we hear that? Is that loud
yes.
enough?
Yes. Okay. Pretty loud.
Yeah, okay. My name is Ted. Wrong way. And I am here with Tim.
I got it.
I'm here with Tim Buck, too.
Really? Thanks.
Wrong side thanks. Effect. Okay, that's your new one. Baby crying.
No, I refuse.
And also, Chris the Joker.
I don't have here.
Yeah, okay. Where's the? You know, I don't know where the laugh was. You always have. Yeah, the Arnold sound is perfect. And also, we have a guest in the studio with us this evening. All the way from where do you live?
3 minutes from here.
Yeah, you had to think. About, so you're
3 minutes if you walked.
So you are in Cranford.
I'm literally on the other side of the river. Yeah,
you're in Cranford. Okay, so you live on the south side or the north side?
North side.
You live on the north side.
He lives on the north side.
The better side.
Our good friend Justin Brown.
From, it's been a long time since you've been on the show.
From Harley Davidson, Bergen County.
Yes.
Yeah, so yes. He's going to be here today to tell us all the Harley Davidson secrets. And that crap. How's it going, boys?
It's going. Awesome.
Yeah.
Wonderful.
Good. That didn't sound very encouraging.
No, it's
been rain today.
It's winter. It's miserable.
Well, it's been warm the past few days, but
50s.
Rainy yeah. and caca.
Okay. Okay, show of hands, who's ridden?
I was just going to ask that question. I have not yet in January.
Nope.
Nope.
Nor I.
I did.
Woohoo!
Did you?
When?
Sad.
Oh, lucky you.
Oh, Squeaky went out.
I went out. Squeaky went out. Went out for, I did 36 miles. It wasn't a lot, but went out, you know, put air in the tires. So it was good. It was a lot of fun. That's good to get. But you know what?
I don't have a seat on my bike, so.
Yeah, it's on its way. I'm surprised it hasn't gotten here yet, but it's on its way. Have you ever sat on Chris's bike? Justin,
that's where
you got it from your place. Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, he has his
over 2 years. Like murdered that seat.
Yeah, because his fat ass kind of like pretty much compressed it.
Yeah,
and it was
just metal.
It was basically the padding was like this greeting card.
It was about that. It was a bit thin.
Because when I handed it to Joe, our friend Joe G from Surefire Designs, when I handed it to him. He goes, yeah, that's kind of beat. So Joe G is taking care of it. He's repadded it, put the padded vinyl on there.
Did he put the colored thread?
He restitched it with the red stitching.
Nice.
And it's on its way back as we speak.
Nice.
So you'll have it any day now.
And he put the little pony on it?
He said he was going to do a little.
And you said
that
to Tim's house, right?
Yeah, so I will arrive here.
What, you're going to forget? Yeah, you're like, what's one. This? This ain't mine. Send it back.
He's like, that's what that package was yesterday.
Yeah.
I'm going to make a phone call.
Yeah, so as soon as you get it back, I guarantee as soon as it comes back, he's going to put it on. He's going to take the
I call
ride.
The bomb squad. It was a bomb.
I don't know what this is. Quick. Yeah, I'll have to put it on, then jump the bike, then take it for a ride.
Once you get, so you got to get between now and then. Well, yeah, get a new battery.
I'm planning on getting a battery next week.
Is there a
my battery went?
Is there batteries and bulbs around here?
Batteries. There's a battery store on 22.
How much?
I wouldn't go to them.
How much is Harley's charge for your battery?
I think they're around 180 something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, I figured as much.
Really, that much?
I'm guessing. I don't. Sell
is that it. A good guess or a bad guess?
Depends on your opinion.
Yeah, yeah. AutoZone has one for like $130.
Here's one thing I can definitely say, though, from my experience, is that I would, and this is not because I work there, I would recommend using the Harley stuff as far as batteries versus the aftermarket, because I've just seen, not only have I seen things fail because of the using the aftermarket batteries, but just, I don't know if it's the difference in cold cranking amps or output voltage or whatever the case may be.
Probably output voltage or something.
They just don't hold up the same, and I've seen electrical demons that are created
electrical demons.
Seemingly from you change the battery and that goes away. So I mean, there's certain things that it's like use whatever you want, but when it comes to batteries, I always recommend doing the Harley.
We're gonna have to adjust his mic because his.
He's gonna stay in front of the mic.
We gotta adjust.
He doesn't
want to
be in front of something.
Stay right
black.
There when you talk. Whatever you talk, you stay right like that.
Yeah, you had to go there. You had to go there, right?
You had to put him in the right frame of mind.
Yeah.
Oh, now this feels familiar.
Big See, now there you go. Okay, yeah. All right. Anyway, so here we are back after 2 weeks. Last week I had a great interview with Lisa Brower of Full Throttle Living. If you had a chance to listen to that, she... I guess she rode the same route that Effie Hotchkiss did back in 1915. And I don't know if you guys know the story. Effie Hotchkiss loaded up her brand new 1915 Harley Davidson in New York City, loaded it up with a sidecar even, loaded up with all their stuff and her mother, and rode all the way to San Francisco.
Damn.
1915.
And how fast does that motorcycle go? Probably, what, at the time, 25 miles an hour?
I think
they had like 6 horsepower
yeah.
back then. So anyway, so they so Lisa recreated the same route. She did the same thing with a friend. It's great.
Of course, the roads are all paved now.
Now the roads are paved. Yeah. They did it in 15 days. So.
Antiquated suspension, too. Those were Springers back then.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
That must have been hard.
In fact, there was one. I was reading the story on the ride that they did. At one point, they got a flat. And they didn't have any spare tubes, so what Effie did, took some supplies, left her mother there at where they camped, and left, and overnight even, and now mind you, this is 1915, went overnight and went someplace really far away and picked up tubes and came back the next day with all these tubes. And at one point, they were actually using shirts and towels because their tire blew out, and they wrapped them up as much as they could and stuffed them inside the tire because they didn't have any tubes. But this one interesting.
That's pretty interesting.
Yeah, so that's
wow.
Good, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
So anyway, so we don't have to do that no more.
Yeah, thank God.
The weather's warming up a little bit.
Sure it is.
It's going to go back to being cold.
It's
again.
50 degrees right now. 50. So I've heard some motorcycles today.
Nice. Couple.
I saw a few bunch over the going weekend. To work and coming back.
You heard Michael's motorcycles all the time, don't you?
I do, and actually, what was it, 2 weeks ago when it was stupid cold, we still had people riding in.
No kidding, really?
Did they have full suits?
Yeah, well, it's not to the capacity, obviously, that you see, you know, come March, April, May, that sort of thing.
Right.
But you still have your people that, you know, every now and again come in, even when it's 9 degrees out and...
No gloves.
we're all a little bit crazy, I guess, but...
Yeah, a little bit. So, just for the next 10 days here, and for those of you who are very interested in traveling to New Jersey, it's only going to be 18 degrees on Thursday. So,
you think I have to do that again?
Yeah, look at that. So, right into the end of next week. Yeah, well, hold on, wait. I'm sorry, take that back. We're looking at Cooperstown, New York. So,
oh, my God.
Would you say there's going to be 18 on Friday?
Yeah, no, that's in Cooperstown, New York. But here,
oh, I was going to say, what the fuck?
So we're going to be 50.
That's better. Right?
What's Thursday going to be?
What, Thursday this week or next week?
This week.
35.
Woohoo.
I got Saturday.
All right, whatever the coldest day is, that's when my seat's going to come in.
No. It'll
That's good. That's my luck.
It'll arrive late Saturday. Because then it'll rain all day Sunday.
Did
oh, great.
Send it post office?
Oh, look, it's going to snow on Monday.
Fantastic.
Perfect.
That's the day you're seeing.
Yeah, but the temperature's 54, right?
When? On Sunday, it's going to rain.
Doesn't matter.
It's gonna rain.
It was like almost 70 like 2 days ago, and then the next day it was dropped down like 46 degrees.
Well, at least you'll have your seat back, and then you can look at your bike.
Did he send it to the post office?
No, he sent it here. I gave him your address.
Wow.
Why would I send it to the
post
office?
That was special.
I don't... Why would I send
it to the... He's not getting it.
Yeah, no. It's just like... I don't have an airplane sound. I don't have an airplane sound.
All those sounds.
Did he send it to the post office?
I never said that.
That's his sound.
Okay, let's...
We got to see if he can figure this out. I really did
say it again.
I did say, did he send it through the post office?
Oh, yes, you did. Okay. See, I didn't hear that. It sounded like ding. It sounded like you said, did he... did he send it to the post office? I'm like, why would he send it to the post office?
He sent it here.
Well, you got to put it in your head.
Fine. Moving on.
But it's funny that you asked before you said, has anybody ridden your bike? Because when I was getting ready to come over here.
You thought
about it, didn't you? I was sitting there and I'm going, you know what? I haven't ridden my bike yet this year. And it's funny because the last time I rode it, I was up in North Jersey. And I had gotten new suspension on my bike. I did the Legends suspension front and rear. And it totally changed the way the bike handles. And I strongly recommend looking into it if you're looking for...
It's expensive?
It's not cheap, but it's worth every penny. It really... It totally
softer ride or hard or just the more...
Better performance.
Better performance.
There's no front end dive. You can really, really dial it in, and it totally changes the way the bike handles. But because I haven't quite gotten used to how well it handles, I had taken a turn a bit more extreme than I normally would have, and when I did, I had just left where I was up in North Jersey. I had about a 40-minute ride home, and I was about 5 minutes into it. I made a pretty aggressive left turn, caught my kickstand on the pavement, popped the kickstand spring off.
Oh.
And so I'm riding down the road, and all of a sudden I just hear bing, 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 bing. I'm going, what the hell is that? And I look down, and I see sparks just flying. And I'm going, what the hell's going on? So I pick up the kickstand with my one foot so that it's not bouncing off the ground, because I'm like, this is like a surefire way to get pulled over riding home with just sparks and everything. So I'm sitting there holding my kickstand up for a half hour
with my
one leg. I was like riding down the road in a yoga position.
What'd you do when you shifted?
That's the thing, I couldn't shift. So I was, if you're a police officer, this didn't actually happen, but I was running red lights.
That's fiction you're telling. We understand.
I was running lights and stop signs and that sort of thing just because I didn't really have the ability to shift. To add insult to injury, it was raining.
Wow.
So when I finally got back into town, I just pulled it in my garage, and that was the last time I rode it. But I figured with it being winter, I was like, how often am I going to ride this thing? So I never rushed to put the kickstand spring on, and now we're having these 50-degree days, and I'm going.
Wow, all because of a lousy
now,
spring.
Wait, is it the new bike or the old?
No.
We're going to talk about that in a minute. Don't spoil anything. We're going to talk about that in a minute. That's, when I heard that, I was like, what? I want to beat you now. So we got the Chris's update. So briefly, motorcycles, as you guys recall, a few months back I had Robert Pandya on the show, and he was he's a PR guy for Indian. He was so he recently started this thing called Give a Shift, and that is to promote people getting into motorcycling. And
well, we talked to him at the show.
Yeah, well,
that was
Steve Lita.
Okay.
So he's trying some campaigns about to try to get people to get more interested in cycling and motorcycling, and trying also to change the way we approach it and try to get people into it. I'll put the link on the website, but look into it. It's a lot of really cool things. For example, I just say, instead of saying beginner bike, you know, touring bike or whatever, let's start classifying bikes as lightweight, middleweight, and heavyweight, because not every bike is a beginner bike. Not every bike is a touring bike and all that. So,
right. We just want to get people riding.
Right, exactly. So, and that's his approach to it. Also, that townships and cities should offer more in the way of motorcycle parking and things of that nature.
Oh, I'm a fan of that.
Yes.
Because we park wherever we want anyway.
Yeah. Well, I want to speak on two things on that real quick,
if you don't mind.
I don't know how much time you set aside for this whole thing. But
whenever.
Yeah.
I just recently went from having a pickup truck to a Jeep Cherokee.
Mm-hmm.
And when I called Easy Pass, I called them to make the switch. And I said, I'm getting rid of the truck, and now I've got the Jeep. And they said, well, you can't keep that same tag because you no longer have the same type of vehicle. You get charged differently for a heavier vehicle. Now, to my knowledge, years ago, I didn't think that they rated these things differently. I thought it was just a charge. So I was like, it's kind of a bummer to me that motorcycles get charged the same as everybody else, because you can have four people in a car and four bikes go through, they're getting charged four times. But I said, they're kind of charging everything the same, so... You know, no big deal. But now that they are, you know, if you have a pickup truck, it's three times what it is for a car to go through for the
same
total.
What about a motorcycle? They didn't change that,
really?
Well, a motorcycle is still the same as a car. So now my thought is like, okay, if you're going to scale it like that,
that's fucked up.
Right.
Exactly.
You know,
and it's in the same token, you're charging me $75 to register my Jeep and you're charging me $65 to register my motorcycle.
Right.
Where's the logic there? It's $10 savings.
Right. Yeah, $10. Yeah, right.
Yeah, I got two less wheels.
I was just thinking about that the other day. I've been having this conversation because this only happened recently. So I've been having this conversation about motorcycles.
Are you an AMA member?
No.
That's the people we have to contact, AMA, and they'll fight for it. It's a great idea because that's an expense for everybody.
That's just another way of fucking the people.
Yeah, well, they can add money, but they don't take any away.
Yeah, they do it. It's funny how they change it for the trucks and the cars.
So when did they start with this, with the Easy Pass?
I honestly have no idea because for the past six or seven years, I've had a truck. And it wasn't until I got rid of it that they told me I was paying more than anybody else.
Here's what you do. Here's the trick.
That was not the lady on the other end of that phone call did not like me.
Well, here's what you do for future reference. You go onto the Easy Pass website, you log in, and then there's a section where you can say add a vehicle or change a vehicle, whatever. You add the new vehicle, regardless of what kind of vehicle it is, you add that, and then you take off the old vehicle. But you still remain the tag. You still have the tag. I've never ever told them.
The tag now is how they know. So, because I thought about that too. I was like, well, what if I, like, because the 2 weeks that I was running around with my Jeep and my old truck tag, I was still getting charged truck prices.
You sure?
And, yeah. Well, yeah, because it's the tag. I always, my tag says truck, my old tag said truck on it. And I have my truck and my motorcycle on my account. So I just assumed they were doing that so I knew which one went to which.
Oh, okay.
You know what I mean? And yeah. Now I'm like, okay, not
well,
the case.
Well, let me ask you. So when you're going through a toll with your truck,
yeah.
How much were they charging you for a toll?
Well, so if you notice now, it used to say, like, toll paid $150.
Yeah.
Now it just says toll paid.
Oh, it doesn't even tell you how much.
Oh.
So what I...
Get around
you fucking
it,
yeah. Cocksuckers.
So if you...
Wow. Oh, they're so dirty.
If you go on the Easy Pass website...
Yeah.
There's a section where you can
see
go
your transactions,
down.
Right?
Well, it's not even that. There's a section where you can go down, and you can pick based on what road you're going on. Like, so say you're going on the turnpike,
right?
You can select what type of vehicle it is, and it'll tell you what it's going to cost you.
No kidding.
So, because I was having a conversation with one of the guys I work with, and he's like, "No, there's no way." He goes, "You must have misunderstood it." I said, "That's possible." So I went on the website and I said, "Nope, look," and you can literally click in. They consider the pickup trucks Class 2 vehicle.
I wonder how many people they're just letting that go.
Nobody knows because
they didn't tell anybody.
Right.
That's what I'm saying. So
and what would my expedition be?
You've got to be Class 2 because you can't be any much. You can't weigh any less than what my truck did.
Huh. What kind of truck did you have?
It was a Dodge Ram.
Oh yeah, so Dodge Ram.
I think it's 7,000 pounds or over.
Yeah.
Is I think what they consider a Class 2.
Huh.
But if I don't get in, it might be less than
if you go on the website, though, and seriously, so we did the length of the turnpike, you know, just to talk about it, and it was three times. It's like, you want to do the length of the turnpike, it's like, say, for a car, for argument's sake, it's $6, and for a truck, it's 18 or something, you know, along those lines. And
wow.
Not exact numbers, but it's pretty wild, yeah.
Wow. Yikes.
So check in your state and see if you have the same problem.
Yeah. So how about that? Well, I'll give you an example. Like last Tuesday, I charged my account, threw $20 in there, and then for the next 5 days, I did not go on the parkway once. And yet, now mind you, my account had like $5 in it, so I put $20 in it. And then 5 days went by, and I went through one toll. The next toll said that I had to recharge my account.
Mm-hmm.
So,
what?
Yeah, it did. And then I called them up and I said, why is that? He says, well, the online Easy Pass account thing is like 5 days behind. So the tolls that you're going through now won't register for another 3 days. And I'm like, I said, lady, that doesn't make any sense to me.
It didn't make any sense to her either. She was no, just hoping she was you'd just buy like, it. Yeah.
So I'm just wondering how much Easy Pass is ripping you off.
Oh, I'm convinced they're fucking ripping you fucking off.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Probably a lot.
Well, we'll see.
Convinced, not conversed.
The other interesting thing, and I'll make this one quick, that you had mentioned before about the classifying stuff as beginner's bikes. We teach a riding academy at our dealership. And
yes,
so we have new students in, about 22 students every week. And one of the most common questions that I get asked by students is, what's a good beginner's bike? And, you know, everybody just assumes that there's one beginner's bike that everybody starts on, and the conversation that I always have with them is that, you know, any bike can be a beginner's bike. It's a matter of how it fits you. Because, you know, a guy who's 6 foot three, 350, and a guy or a girl or whoever who's, you know, 4 foot 11, you know, 100 pounds, those are two very different beginner's bikes. Yeah. You know what I mean? So it's not that there's just that one answer that everybody has to start on. It's a matter of making sure that you definitely find the bike that fits you properly, especially for your first bike.
Right. Here you go. And that's why Robert Pienda is saying, hey, you know, I keep saying his name wrong, Pandya. He likes Panda with a ya. That's why he keeps saying we start classifying him as lightweight, middleweight, and heavyweight. Like, you and I have lightweight bikes. You two guys. No, we have middleweight. You two guys have heavyweight.
All bikes matter.
All bikes all matter. That's right. So what are the things we can do to, look at some of the things we can do to promote motorcycling. One, though, I think one of the things that really ticks me off the most, and you may have seen my Facebook post, is where guys have to stop saying, guys and girls have to stop saying that there are two types of motorcyclists, those that have crashed and those who will crash. We have to stop saying that.
I agree.
Because when people hear that, that scares them off. Especially mothers and daughters and fathers and sons. We got to stop saying that crap.
I get it, but I mean, you got to realize there's also the stigma behind it, and you're always going to have there's people that no matter what you tell them, they're just going to always think that riding motorcycles is a death.
Well, yeah, and it's a fine line too, because I mean, do you want to sell somebody on doing something by telling them how dangerous it is? No, but at the same time, you know. The truth of the matter is, I mean, it is a dangerous thing. I mean, if you're not safe, or if especially in the beginning when you are trying to get your bearings, I mean, you can go down, you can get hurt. I mean, it's not, you know, there's a fine line between being honest and, you know, overselling something that doesn't need to be discussed.
Yeah, but, right, exactly.
We do that in class, like when students ask, you know, at the riding academy, and I, you know, obviously I don't try and focus on negatives, but you know, if they come up, yeah, you have to have that conversation.
For a car,
you can't blow smoke up their ass either. Right. Be like, oh, you're never going to get hurt. Everything's fine. You know,
right? So you just got to just
motorcycling, like driving, like swimming, like walking around your house is inherently dangerous. Mm-hmm. You know, but you have to keep your head in what you are doing.
Right.
Correct.
It's like you actually said on the first show, the first time you were here, you said that you know. Just going down, everybody who has a bad tendency to go to the catastrophic. 9 times out of 10, it's not.
How many times has Tim gone down?
Hey, wait. I was never moving. I was never moving.
Well, this is what I'm saying. See?
Yeah. That's not right. You see what they're painting me, baby?
I see it all, yeah.
That's why he just moved his chair.
So if you, V-Twin Cafe's at... V-Twin Cafe is a dangerous place.
It is.
Probably more dangerous than motorcycling itself.
You get abused here in the V-Twin Cafe. Definitely do. So if you have the opportunity to have a talk with somebody, ask me about motorcycles. If you want to, ask me about motorcycles, and I will tell you about motorcycles. And that's what everybody should be going around doing. Ask me about motorcycles, and we'll do it. In fact, the Give Us a Shift Foundation thing, they're going to be doing T-shirts that say, ask me about motorcycles, with all the sponsors on the back. Mostly going to be podcasts that are sponsoring it. So if anybody asks you, hey, get a T-shirt that says ask me about motorcycles and tell people about motorcycles.
I think we should.
And tell them about the things about motorcycles.
I always give the bubbly good response. I always do it's the therapy thing.
Man, that's
right. It's a wonderful thing.
It's a wonderful, it's a beautiful thing.
People, when people who don't, when non-riders have any sort of questions to ask most riders, they can usually see almost instantaneously the passion in how, you know, everybody talks about it. I mean, I can't tell you how many people come into the dealership who don't know the first thing about motorcycles, but they've seen them their whole life, and they're like, I just wanted to stop in this place and see what it was all about. And by the time they get done talking to whether it's customers that are in there or people that work for the dealership, I can't tell you how many of them leave, like, genuinely excited just based on the passion that they felt from everybody that they talked to in there. Yeah. You know, because it is definitely a different thing.
And that's how they get the bug.
That's definitely
That's how they get the bug, and then they want to do something about it. On that topic, there's an article from Your Connection Is Not Private. I don't care. Why am I getting that, Tim?
Huh? Well, stop watching porn.
That note was from his neighbor.
Yeah.
Just to let you know, your connection's not private. We see what you're doing.
All right. Anyway, in the Motorbike Rider online news magazine, they had a, for some reason, I can't get to the website. But anyway, they had an article about that while new ridership is, there's a lot of guys, people, men and women, going out, getting their licenses, and that's as far as they're going with it. It said it's like up 60%. There we go. Thank you, sir. I was talking. Sorry.
What were you saying? Really,
people are getting their license, but not riding.
That's as far as they're going. They're getting their licenses, and then they're bailing. So it's like in the last 10 years, learners outnumber numbers increased 41%, but only 12% did anything about it.
It makes me wonder about those people.
Just again, just posers, they get the bug, getting it done, or are they just checking out?
Well, you know,
it's a little bit of both.
There's a lot of factors at play because, you know, you have people that take the course and, you know, they just don't have a lot of free time. So they take the course, they think they got it, and they go, well, I'll get my license next week or 2 weeks. And then
they never
6 months goes by and, you know.
You only have 6 months.
They totally forget about it, yeah. And the other side of the coin is it becomes one of those things where it's like, I'll do it. And then you don't remember anything you learned in the course. And then, you know, it's kind of shot out that way. Sometimes it's a money thing. A lot of people go, well, I'm not going to get my license until I want to get a bike. You know, a lot of people need a driving force for them to take the next step with anything.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, when somebody says, I'm going to take the class and get a bike, they get their license, you know, like 2 minutes after they pass that class. You know what I mean? They're in the car, see ya. You know, and then we have students that, you know, will come back a year later. They want to take the class again because they're like, I never even went to DMV.
Wow.
No.
So I have a guy at work who took the test like 5 months ago. Mm-hmm. Still hasn't gotten his license yet.
180 days.
Yeah, right. So he has until February something.
Did he take the class?
He took the class and everything. What's passed, everything. So, but he got a bike. He can't ride it, of course. And he's just waiting to go get the
Is license. He serious about it, though? Do you get the impression that he's serious?
Yeah, he's excited about it. Is he? He belongs to a club, so.
Yeah. Well, just give you a little bit, like, for example, in Australia, 690,000 licensed riders, but only 207,000 registered motorcycles. Hmm. So, wow. That's a consistent thing. Look, ridership in the UK is down 18.5%. Ridership in the US is down, that was a 15.9%. So, really?
I wonder if a lot of that, it's got to play into effect. Population increase.
No.
More cars are getting on the road, and it's getting more dangerous for us. I mean, Jesus Christ.
Well, around here,
it's just absolutely fucking
You ridiculous. Riding up to Bergen every day, that's crazy.
That's got to be true. Sure. It's probably just like me going to Route 22 to fucking Somerset every fucking day. It's a fucking shit show. It's like running a gauntlet there.
Yeah, I don't know. The interesting thing I think that a lot of people are looking at right now, and this is one of those old stigmas, whether true or not, was that, you know, motorcycling used to be an old white guy thing.
Well, yeah.
So everybody's trying to change that, you know, in not only changing that stigma, but just trying to get more people into it in general. But, you know, one of the interesting arguments, whether it's true or not, is how everybody's bringing up the fact that you know, we'll call them, I guess, millennials for argument's sake, are more interested in, you know, having their faces buried in their phones and their iPads than it is about going out and getting on a bike and riding one. I mean,
I'll agree with that.
Absolutely, you know, I agree with that.
You know, I mean, even, you know, not that I'm old or young or anything, but, you know, I think about when I was younger, if younger guys wanted to get into bikes, a lot of times they'd start on sport bikes because of the allure of the whole thing, and they'd do that for, you know, 2 or 3 years before they were like, okay, I can't go 180 miles an hour anywhere in New Jersey, so I want to be comfortable, I'm going to get a cruiser. And then that's when they made the transition. But now it doesn't seem like you have as many young people just going to do motorcycling, whether it's sport bikes, cruisers, whatever the case may be, just because everybody's more interested
I've heard from the younger generation, and a lot of them always complain about it.
They all called you.
They're expensive. They're too expensive.
Well, they don't have to be.
Riding is expensive.
It's not. I mean, you know, it doesn't have to be.
I just hear nothing but excuses from them. Oh, yeah, they don't like it.
Yeah.
They'll go out and buy a $1,000 iPhone every year. Yes. And a $7 cup of Starbucks,
right,
mocha,
right.
Foca Joca.
Yeah,
bullshit. Bullshit every day. But
lick
but,
my balls.
But the Harley
mocha.
That gets 47 miles per gallon is too expensive.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, I don't think so.
Well, this is where a great mentoring program would be perfect for people who want to learn how to ride.
Slap
they could actually
sign
get
a up, bike.
Get a mentor, and have somebody teach them how to ride. You know,
right.
All right, so we got to do some shopping, kids.
Uh-oh.
Shopping. Da-da-da.
So our good friends over at Cycle Gear. Do you remember who they are?
Cycle Gear?
Yeah, you know Cycle
Chainsaw
Gear.
Chainsaw Jenny.
Chainsaw and Jenny.
Sean.
And Obscene.
Obscene.
By the way, he loves the name.
Obscene.
Well, kind of sort of.
Obscene.
Obscene. It is like, because his name is Sean, but he spells it S-E-A-N.
Right.
And to me, that should be seen. So we just.
What most people do.
No.
Spell it that way.
There's,
we, you heard that?
I did heard that too.
What?
That went right to my soul.
Oh, yeah. That.
What is that?
That thing's awful.
Whatever. Don't do that again.
What, do that again. What is that? Is that a button?
Yep.
You're hitting.
You
oh my God! What is that?
I don't even hear it
right
yeah,
now.
I
right,
don't even hear
people
it.
People listen
it's
to
the
this
dog
podcast
whistle
and,
button. Yeah,
that's a dog whistle button, dude.
Yeah, something.
My freaking head sounds like it's going to explode to do that.
People are listening to this in their car and they're crashing.
Yeah, their windshields just spidered.
You know, I'm sorry, people, but I don't hear it, so I don't know it's
all right.
There.
So there's a few things going on. Okay, we're gonna have some giveaways here. We're gonna be giving away. Cycle Gear, purchase with a purchase this month. Freeze out inner liner gloves, $39.99. If you purchase anything, you can get them for just $9.99.
That's wonderful.
Isn't that wonderful?
That's a deal.
The DuraBoost battery charger maintainer, Chris. The DuraBoost battery charger maintainer, $7.50. Regularly $29.99. Now $19.99.
Yeah, figures.
$19.99.
I spent $40 on mine.
Man. So it may be cold outside, but
yes.
The deals are hot at the Cycle Gear in Edison, New Jersey. They have the Roadster three-quarter helmet special for a limited time only. This helmet is DOT approved. Regularly $59.99. Now only $39.95. Tim, did you see this? You saw this? You put it on your head?
Yes, I did.
Chris, what's your favorite color for this helmet? Pick your color.
Black.
Perfect. Well, it comes in matte black, white, pink, and a sexy red. And a black and silver, which would match my bike. All right. You know what would make this deal even sweeter? If you go down and see Jenny and Obscene and tell them you heard about it here on a Motorcycle Men podcast, and they will give you a free tinted shield to go with the helmet. And it's only good at the Edison location. Do you hear me? It's only good at the Edison location.
Edison
so
location,
you,
people.
You go to the Edison location and
Edison
tell them
location.
That you heard about it here on a Motorcycle Men podcast, you will get a free tinted shield. All right?
How many locations is this good at?
The Edison location. There's 136.
So how does that help all the other locations?
They have to come to Edison.
How many locations were there?
There's 136 locations of Cycle Gear.
And we got to get them to be on all the same pages, so this really makes sense to everybody.
That's
not
right.
Just
that's right.
Here.
Everybody.
Right.
So there you go. So what we're doing is we have here in our possession a white
built
Roadster helmet. It's an X-large.
Three-quarter.
It fits my noggin. It fits Chris's noggin.
Yeah, I mean, I got a fat
head. And he's got a quadruple X head. And did you
I got
try
a parade
it
float.
I could swim in that thing. I have a very small head.
And Tim, you could probably
swim. Yeah, it's a little big on
it's
me.
It's a little big on you? But we're giving this away. We're going to be giving this helmet away. What you got to do is you got to go to the Motorcycle Men website. Go to motorcyclemen.us and go to the contact page. And you'll see a thing right there on top that says, I want the helmet. What you do is put your email address in there. And the 10th person will get this helmet.
Sweet.
Access granted.
See? Perfect. We're also giving away a cycle lock, which locks into your rotor on the front of your bike. We're giving one of those away. So if you want the lock, I don't have the information on that right here in front of me. But if you go to our website again, same place, it says, I want the lock. 10th person gets the lock.
And it locks onto your rotor?
Logs onto the front rotor. And by our next time we get together here in the studio in 2 weeks, We are going to announce the winner, and then we're going to Tim's going to box it up and ship it out.
Yes, is that going to go by the post office? Or?
Yeah. it's going to go by way
of Tim. It's going to go to your post office. You got to go pick it up.
Yeah, it's going to go to Tim. Go
because that's
Tim.
The way Ted works. That's it. General delivery.
Yeah, that's it. We're also giving away a RAV-X Drinker X. This is a drink holder. It mounts to your handlebars. It's a soft thingy. But just know that plastic bags can be dangerous. To avoid danger of suffocation, keep this bag away from babies and children. So we don't know how many babies
are riding their motorcycle looking for a place to put their drink.
But. Exactly. So we're gonna give this away as well. There's not a link on there yet, but I will put that on as soon as I get done with the show. I'll put the link on the website and we'll have that up. So you can win a drink holder, a helmet, and a what? Lock.
Psycho lock.
Do you have cup holder on your bike?
I don't.
Why not?
Well, I have saddlebags, so
I don't have
wouldn't
one.
Be the first time I put a pint glass in my saddlebag.
What?
Do you have a cup holder on your bike? I can't remember.
Tim's got everything on his bike. The only thing that he doesn't have on there is a TV.
Get one. I have it right back there. It's a 24. It's a 19-inch.
That's too funny, yeah.
My screen right in the front. I don't need all the other gauges.
Oh. All right, I'll shut it off. What is that? Your computer's that? Wait a minute.
I just watched your computer fucking reboot itself,
dude. Did you get a new computer?
No.
That's the old computer. No. Oh, my God. I think it's having a hissy fit.
That's not good. That's not a good sound.
No.
I don't know anything about computers, but I will agree that's not a good sound, yeah.
It's a fan rattling. Relax, people. Everybody, stay in your homes.
Well, not everybody. Well, people in their cars are right now going, what's going on with my car? What's that noise? So, guys, anyway, so there you go. So check out Cycle Gear, and we'll get you some stuff, and that's it. Okay? I got some email. I got hollered at.
Uh-oh.
I got hollered at.
Through the fun emails.
You said something stupid?
Remember last episode when we were talking about the predictions, and I was bashing the shit out of the Street 500?
Oh, I know.
Yeah. Oh, who yelled at you?
I got an email from a guy who rides a Street 500. What do you think of the Street 500, Justin?
You know, the streets, I'll be totally honest with you. When they first came out, I thought it was an interesting move because it's like, it was so different than, I mean, outside of the V-Rod, it was so different than any other traditional Harley. But what was actually really cool, something really cool that Harley as a motor company did, was they took a whole bunch of them and they gave them to all these custom bike builders that were pretty well known.
No, I know what you're talking about. Yeah, I've seen a couple.
And they basically said, here, we're going to give you, I don't know the amount of money, but they said, we're going to give you the bike. We're going to give you X amount of money. Customize it however you want. There was very little rules that Harley gave them. They said, you want to spend more than we give you, that's fine, but we're going to give you a bike and X amount of money, and you just do some cool shit with it. And
they came out of it with some really, really cool stuff.
They did. And actually, in talking with one of the local guys up by us, this guy Walter from Kickstart Cycle, who does some really, really nice stuff, also really knows his stuff when it comes to building motors and that sort of thing. After he really got into building this thing, he had nothing but good things to say about how well designed those motors were. And, you know, he was really impressed with the technology on it. And, you know, I for sure, trust his judgment when it comes to that sort of thing. The guy's building all types of motors, and he's been doing it for a while. And now they just came out with the Street Rod, which is basically a little bit more of a performance type street model. So it's got like the inverted front end, and it's got the piggyback shocks, and just a little bit more of an aggressive bike. But they're starting to do some pretty cool stuff, including they're going to be doing the X Games.
And yes, some of those. right, with the snow bike.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
is that the one that you to post a picture?
Yeah,
or
it's a snow bike. Yes,
the adventure looking bike with the knobby tires.
Yeah, that's that's two different things.
That was pretty sharp.
That's
looking.
The stealth.
I like to see Harley start making those bikes.
That was the stealth concept, but they did the snow bike, which was based on the Sportster. I believe that was the 883, wasn't it, or was that a 1200?
Well, yeah, they have. I'm trying to find. They have the one that there was a picture posted one that there was a Sportster, but I think I'm trying to find the thing here. Give me a second. I think they were actually going to be doing the 750s for the X Games stuff. Let's see what we can find.
So, in the meantime, read that email.
Well, here's I'll read a nice email. No, I guess I'll go back to the ugly email. Was it really ugly? This comes from Brian.
Brian, we apologize for Ted.
He's
it's all his fault.
He's from Fall City, Washington. He says, "Okay, guys, it's a long it's a long one, but I'm gonna sum it up. Okay, today's episode was the final straw. I kept my mouth shut when you shot down the XG500 in the 500cc shootout, but now I'm piping up. The XG500 is a great bike. The 750 is good too. It makes more power than the 883, weighs less, and costs way less. Has six-speed transmission, both this 500 and 750." I've got a 500. I bought it in May of 2016. It was my first bike. It's a very forgiving bike for a new rider. You can make a lot of mistakes with the controls, and it really doesn't phase it. I dynoed mine after the slip-on intake and FP3 tuner made 30 horsepower at the wheels. Not a whole lot, but not bad for a 500-pound bike. I bought mine with a windshield, cargo rack, and sissy bar installed. I've done all sorts of riding with my bike. I ride with my 9-year-old daughter. I ride with my girlfriend, who combined with me will probably be pushing 450 pounds on a bike. The bike takes it just fine. He rides with his Hog Chapter, and last year he put on 6,000 miles on the bike around town, plus another 5,000 miles across on a cross-country trip. He did this whole West Coast trip through Yellowstone, Beartooth Pass, a whole bunch of places on this bike. So much so that he did so much riding on this. He posted a picture. He sent me on the Facebook page. He went so far as to, it impressed me so, he's going to be my guest next week.
That's awesome.
I'm going to interview him next week, and he's going to tell us about the trip that he did on his Street 500.
You were picking on him, you fucking asshole.
What the hell are you picking on our customers?
That, you know what, that is one of the really cool things about the street, though, is especially in this type of area, you think about how many people commute into New York City and how many people sit in traffic. To be able to ride into New York City on a bike that size-wise is relatively small, doesn't weigh a lot, six-speed transmission, liquid cooling. I mean, it's literally like the perfect urban commuter bike.
But there's no place to park.
Sense. Yeah, but they're small enough that you'll definitely find. So, I mean, they're not big and bulky in a way that you can't just plug it somewhere and take a walk.
That's right, true. Right. I got an email here from Jerry, who's in Delaware. He says he thinks the mentor program is a great idea. The dealerships need to put more focus on community. Around here, they just want to sell you a bike and send you on your way. They used to be a great place to meetups and all kinds of rides. Talking to other riders about what they're riding will get me into a dealership. The local Cycle Gear does a great deal with monthly bike nights, and every time I go to spend money, dealers seem to be missing out there. Thanks for the great podcast. You always joke that you're a lack of knowledge, but your insights are very insightful. See that? We have insightful insights.
We do. Well,
let
me know when I have one.
Let me know when I have one.
If I would have known the 883 to 1200 wasn't a starter bike, I may have grabbed one of those instead of my Honda. Thanks, Jerry. All right, Jerry. Well, get out there and get a Harley. Get rid of the Honda and get back onto a Harley. Right? Go see Justin up at Bergen Harley, and he'll fix you right up.
Yeah, and they're very friendly up there, too.
Yeah, you'll have to drive up from
Delaware. They have good hangouts, a lot of people. Yeah.
And they give you
booze. What's the first thing of the year, the first get-together?
It's the beginning of April. Actually, you guys are doing a show there.
That's right. We're going to be coming up and doing a show.
I'm glad somebody told me.
You were part of the email. You were part of the text.
He's easy.
I'm sorry.
Okay. Yeah, unfortunately, I don't think you guys couldn't make the
not that
the opening.
You're right, not the opening. So, the week after.
So, well, you can make the opening. I just can't be there. So.
Well, we want you to be there. So,
yeah,
what we're going to do is we're gonna have you guys there the following week, and we'll just have to come up with something creative to build around you guys.
Great,
cool.
Good, do something. Yeah, something that involves food, preferably.
There's always food.
When would your next one be? After April, what would be the next one?
When's the beginning of the season for you guys? That's the beginning of April, you said, right?
Well, the first Saddle Up Saturday ride that we do is the beginning of April, but the beginning of the season is kind of weather-dependent. But as far as our calendar is concerned, the first ride is, I think it's the first week of April.
Okay. Sweet.
I was about to say, did you hear what he said when you left the room?
Yeah.
But we do, we have free coffee and bagels every Saturday and free lunch every Saturday, whether there's a ride or not. And then when the weather's nice, from about April till, depending on the weather, end of October, there's a Saddle Up Saturday ride every Saturday that leaves out of the dealership, and you do not need to be on a Harley to come to it.
Great.
Just be on a
now, bathroom. What kind of food are you guys going to have when we're there doing our show?
Well, we'll have to discuss that. Any
wings.
Requests?
Wings. We want wings.
Escargot.
Lobster. Hey, Chris, I'll make my wings.
Yeah.
Wings.
So you want escargot wings?
Yes. No. With pizza. No.
And shrimp.
Oh, hold on. Buffalo escargot, right?
Served by stripper midgets. Is that BPC for me to say that?
No.
That's okay.
All right. Send all your hate mail to me, and I will read it.
Yeah, but you know what? It comes to me.
They prefer half-price dancers.
That's a good one. Yeah.
This one comes from my buddy Chris Geis. He says, great job on episode 127. I've been really enjoying the guests you have on your show, and I really like the interviews that you do. He stopped by PayPal, and he dropped a little in a fuel tank for us.
Oh, that's nice. So, thank you.
Thank you very much, Chris. That will keep the lights on for about 35 seconds. That's good, but thank you very much. Let me know if you're going to go to the IMS in D.C., I missed you guys in New York because he went on Sunday. The Loud Pipes guys were also thinking of going to D.C. Maybe we can imagine a little meetup there. Yeah, keep up the great work.
I've been to D.C. since my eighth grade class trip.
You rode your motorcycle there?
Yeah, in eighth grade. Yeah.
Are you riding your bike there?
To D.C.?
Yeah.
No. I don't know. I was thinking about maybe taking a train.
Why not? Why wouldn't you ride your bike to D.C.?
Does he know where D.C. is?
What are you talking about?
Now, what is it anyway?
Washington, D.C.
Yes,
you act like it's like fucking 40 days away.
It's in February. Let's look at the crooked calendar.
How long does it take to get down there? What, about 4.5 hours?
2.5 hours.
Well, the problem is there's like a ton of traffic.
Yeah,
I think distance wise it's not far, but you're gonna
get broken in driving around here though. I think
I you know what, I am gonna have to check. I thought it was on a different date than I
think. Then the calendar says.
All right, Chris, I have to check that. Right, here we go. And okay.
So just keep going.
Did you hear the show last time we did it? Right?
Are you talking about last week's or the one?
Okay, motorcycle. Okay, February 23rd to the 25th.
What day are you going?
If I go, it'd be a Saturday. It'd be Saturday though, or you know, that's what I want.
I might be able to get off and go with you. I'm thinking
train. What do you think? Take the train down. What do you think?
Is it?
What? I don't know.
Train's expensive.
Why don't you just drive? It's quicker and cheaper. I know. Look, it's the problem.
Parking is the problem.
Yeah, it is.
That's the problem. The nearest parking garage from where the venue is like 6 blocks away.
Hmm. And being I walk for a living.
We could see the monument.
It's further than when we went to New York. It's further away. So, I mean, we could Uber it, whatever.
What'd you guys think of the show this year? Past couple, because I've seen you at the past couple.
We went to Media Day this year. It was okay. I think it was a little.
I liked it because Media Day is not as busy.
You guys were there
normal,
Friday this year, right?
Yeah,
so was I. That's when
yeah.
I was there.
Yeah, yeah.
It was okay.
It wasn't as busy as a normal day.
I thought it was better having in the basement this time because it was less.
It was smaller.
Smaller, and everything's more.
It's been smaller every year.
Yeah.
If you think about
A couple years ago they had it on top. I mean,
yeah, last year
huge.
And the year before. Yeah, they had it upstairs.
It was really big last year.
I remember going. It was probably 6 or 7 years ago, and the place was a zoo. I mean, you couldn't see anything because you were shoulder to shoulder with people, and it was like the whole inside. And now I feel like every year it gets smaller and smaller. Like Ducati wasn't there at all.
No,
that was
Triumph wasn't there at all.
Yeah,
there's a lot of, and I don't know what the reason is. I don't know if that they don't see it as a viable thing, or I don't know if it's getting more expensive to be there. I wonder if it's not cheap.
What we were talking about.
It's not cheap. No, they charge a lot for the booths.
About
I think
the whole
like
motorcycle industry
for like a spot this big.
Really? Like the whole motorcycle industry is taking a hit.
No, I don't think that.
Everybody's there's a lot of people losing interest from 8 years
ago. It could be too. Is that the environment where it's in, like New York, is not a good selling point for motorcycles versus someplace a little more open. You know what I'm saying?
Well, they were in Long Beach, from what I understand.
Yeah, but they've been here for how many years?
Long Beach, California.
Yeah, I'm just saying, maybe it wasn't paying off for that, is what I'm saying.
Well, Long Beach, California was swamped, as I understand.
Right, see, because it's a good riding area, you know what
I'm saying? And now where do they go? They go to New York, Minnesota, Ohio, all the Chicago, and all the places, you know, of course, like in the dead of winter, we had the conversation.
Yeah, well, like, you know why they have the IMS show in fucking winter.
Well, because they used to do it right before the season kicked off.
That'd be perfect time.
They used to do it right before the season kicked off, and then so it was like you went there, you got excited, and then bang, it was nice weather, and everybody was out doing their thing. And now it's like they do it like in and around December, and it's like, what the hell are you doing?
That's exactly what I said.
It's a weird time of year.
Yeah, yeah,
who planned that? It just makes
it's gotta
no
be
sense
cheaper.
At all.
It's probably
yeah, but then they're gonna lose money because nobody's gonna go.
And nobody's going to be buying bikes. I mean, you're trying to sell.
Yeah, yeah, right.
Right? So the less people you have there, the less selling.
Well, I'll tell you what. 4 years ago, we went to the IMS in New York. And you as me, was when you and Deb and myself went.
Okay, right.
And they had it in the basement that year. Mm-hmm. And it was predominantly, that particular show was more vendors, like accessories and things like that,
yeah,
than it was motorcycle. It was a horrible show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, a ton of vendors.
It was a ton of, like, very few bikes were there that year. And then the next year they were upstairs and everybody was there. But I don't know. So, yeah, are we going to go to the DC show? If you guys want to, I mean, I'm all for it.
I have to work it out.
You interested? You interested?
I wouldn't mind just getting, go down.
Are you interested in going, Sean?
I'm interested, but Saturdays are...
You can't get off.
That's right. You work on Saturdays.
I'm Saturday.
You go there representing Harvey Davidson. Yeah, of
so Bergen
County.
It's a business trip.
It's a business. Yeah. You can write it off as expensive.
So
I see no problem with that.
So thanks for our listeners for listening to us.
You can take my bike.
You know, it's funny. When I was interviewing Lisa, she had a model of her bike.
Oh, really?
It was the same exact thing, but it was her bike. That's pretty cool. In the news, you guys interested in the Dakar Rally at all? How about you, Justin? You care about Dakar Rally?
Sure, he'll do it.
Yeah,
I mean, it's fun to watch when I remember to watch it.
Yeah, I'll be honest with you, I don't know much about it.
Well, it used to go from Paris to Dakar, and then that's what it was called, Paris Dakar. And then they changed it because the terrorists got really busy, and then a few years ago they didn't have it. They really didn't have it. So
wait, with the terrorists, it got really busy. I'm trying to get that into my head.
The terrorists want to get in on the fun. So
really busy with the terrorists.
They said,
at a count of three, we're going to throw bombs at you. Go!
So they decided to...
I'm trying to wrap my head around that statement.
You know, not busy terrorists going to be. So they moved it to South America. And but anyway, this year, Matthias Walkner won it for the Dakar Rally. On a KTM bike, how many was it, like 17 years in a row?
On a KTM?
KTM motorcycle, 17 years in a row.
That's 24 hours?
No, it's 9,000 kilometers, so 6,000 miles, you know, over 16 days.
Holy shit, 6,000 miles.
And not the most hospitable terrain either.
No, you need an adventure bike for that.
Oh,
you need an adventure
bike.
Because
they had the classes, of course, they have motorcycles, they have quads. They've got, of course, cars and trucks, and then they have big trucks.
I would like to see somebody take one of our bikes, like the mid-level bikes, like a fucking...
You wouldn't make
a Road King or something. Put knobby tires on it, up the suspension, and then do that race.
You could do it on the Fat Bob.
Yeah, Fat Bob, you could definitely do it.
You could do it on the Fat Bob.
It's like got the knobby tires,
until you,
right?
Until you got the sand, and it just sinks right down to the hubs.
Yeah. Probably.
And probably the sad news is that Raceway Park in Englishtown is ceasing.
I am so bummed about that, dude.
Yeah, I'm telling you. And you know what? They said that the reason for doing it, they didn't really give a reason for it, and they've been away from the phone. They're not answering their phones. But, however, even though that drag racing is going away, they're going to keep on doing the motocross. They're going to keep doing the... this kart racing and a couple other events they're going to keep doing.
They're just getting rid of the drag racing.
They're not even going to allow public to do it, to fuck around. Nope.
There's no. They already canceled the Summer Nationals.
They canceled it. Yep.
Remember when we went to the... I think it was, what was it, $15? Like if you just take your motorcycle or bike up there and just race.
That's such a bummer because, you know, there's really no other comparable track around here.
None.
That can house.
I think.
Well, there's lots of tracks. I mean, you know.
ATCO is one of the tracks.
Yeah, I mean.
In Jersey?
Yeah.
There's Great Meadow. Yeah, it's Great Meadow. There's Great Meadows. But as far as like holding like the NHRA Summer Nationals,
that was it. It was it.
There's nowhere really else that can handle something of that magnitude. I mean, you can have regular drag racing at a lot of these other different tracks, but that's a bummer because I used to love going to the Summer Nationals.
Oh man, that was a lot of fun. That was a lot of fun there. But they're going to keep doing that. They got the go karts, Indy cars. They got the oval track. Dirt and wood oval tracks are going to keep running, and of course, like I said, the motocross.
So the part where they do drag racing, I guarantee you they're going to make it at the fucking.
They said, believe it or not, in this article, which I can't find right now, but in this article they said that they're going to keep that using that for, and I quote, concerts. That's what the article said.
They were turning into a accident car storage
cop art.
Copart, yeah.
Copart, whatever. Copart is that cop? We always say Copart, but it's Copart.
What?
It's what's that, what they call that? What they call it? A salvage yard. Mm-hmm. It's going to be a salvage yard. That's
really?
There's three or four locations in New Jersey, and Englishtown is going to be one of them.
Wow. But
they're going to keep doing their auctions though that they have there, and their swap meets are going to keep doing those.
Yeah, I feel like this is like easing into them just being like, yeah, and we're shutting down.
Yeah, exactly. I think they just got pressured, and then I think they're just getting pressured because somebody wants to put townhouses in that area.
I think so, too. I exactly said that. Well, I said give it time, and it's slowly, like you just said, it's all going to go away. It's going to be an excuse to shut it all down.
Yep.
And then maybe 5 years from now, there's going to be all condos there.
Well,
bye-bye.
Here's the other thing. The neighbors... if you will.
I heard they was complaining down
there. We're complaining all the time about the noise from a track, and it's like the track didn't just get put there.
It's no. been here since 1965.
Don't move next to a racetrack if you don't want to hear
the
noise that comes from a racetrack. So
it's like, people complaining about an airport. It's like complaining about an airport if you live near an airport.
This is why I said don't put it there.
I got excited.
Yeah. So... yeah, just tilt your mic up a little bit. It's like that. Anyway, but also, believe it or not, right next to the drag strip, literally, it's on the same property, is an airport.
That's what happens when you get older. Doesn't stay up in its own as much.
Yeah. There's a small airport right next to the drag strip, too.
On it.
So if they're closing the drag strip because of noise, then I imagine that the airport right next to it is going to be closed also.
I don't know.
Isn't it just stupid?
It's frustrating because, you know, to his point before, it's like, I don't know, but I would imagine that the biggest moneymaker at that whole place would have been the drag racing itself.
Yep.
And so they decided to keep everything but it. And then it's easy for them a year or two from now to go, well, we just can't afford to be open.
Yeah,
you got rid of the only thing that made you any fucking money.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly.
Like, so, I don't know.
Then you'll magically hear about a contractor coming in pretty quickly. And going,
I guarantee it.
Gobble up that
and
fucking
it's a
property.
Huge property.
It is. I'll tell you what.
Oh, that means they can make a huge amount of condos.
I'll tell you what. You could throw a rock from the start line and you could hit the Birch Hill townhouses, which was where Birch Hill Nightclub used to be, where we saw many great concerts.
And
what they do? Artstock said, okay, I'm done. Let's say I'm done. And not more than 30 minutes after he said, I'm done, then boom, boom, or they started plowing it because they're putting condos up.
Of course they are. And that's what they're going to do at Raceway Park. And they can lie all they want. I'm convinced that's what they're going to do.
Exactly.
Eventually, it's going to be all fucking condos and a strip mall to throw into the measure. Guaranteed.
New Jersey is going to be one gigantic condo complex.
Yeah, it is.
That nobody can afford.
Right.
Yeah. There you have it.
So,
today's Ride of the Week. You guys are going to love the Ride of the Week.
Oh, no.
As you go to MotorcycleRoads.com and you can pick out the ride of the week. You can find any ride in any state. Today's ride is in Kentucky. Ooh. And it's called the Big Lick Loop.
The Big Lick Loop?
The Big Lick Loop. It's in Kentucky. Right across the water from Cincinnati, folks.
You have a
right
nice
along the Ohio
it?
River.
Of course, you don't have nice pictures.
Hey, listen, I
don't
again,
look
this
for
is,
nice pictures.
This is not
we don't
my
have
website.
That kind of time.
This is not my website. This is not my thing. I'm just here. It's got great scenery, great road quality. The roads here are either two-lane highway.
They couldn't have thrown one picture
roads.
In that whole.
I
fucking
know that.
Report.
I know. They kept in good shape because it's Kentucky. It's got a mix of lazy river bottom river roads and. Follows the river along the way. Twisties and foothills near the river.
Words are boring.
So,
any of you guys ever been to Kentucky?
No.
Never.
Have you?
Yeah.
Have you?
So I went to Kentucky for my one of my buddy's bachelor parties. We did the bourbon tour. Where basically this bus drives you from distillery to distillery. And
how many distilleries do you don't remember?
Yeah.
Well, you know, so the
after the first one.
The interesting thing is that they're not that close to each other. So although they give you a tasting at each one, it's like they give you, you know, like four little glasses with, you know, like a sip in each one. And then the next distillery is 45 minutes or an hour away.
Okay.
So it's like you can kind of drink all day and not ever end up getting drunk if, you know. If you don't want to, but
I think that kind of like
but
know, kills the point.
The cool thing about it was, you know, in driving through Kentucky, all I could think about when I was on that bus was how much I would love to have my bike down there because it is beautiful.
Oh yeah,
the riding down there has got to be amazing.
Really?
I would love to take my bike down there through the foothills.
Is it flat or is it?
No, they're like foothills, but it's beautiful. Like there's so much green and there's all these rivers that run through it. I mean, it really is scenic. So I can imagine.
It must be like kind of like riding out West Jersey here or the Northwest where it's like a lot of hills up here. So this is a 140-mile loop that hugs the Ohio River called Big Lick Loop.
Yeah, that's pretty picture. Thanks.
And when you're done there, you can go to have something to eat at Jane's Saddlebag.
Ooh.
Jane's Whoa. Saddlebag.
I wonder what Jane's got in her saddlebag.
Yeah. They got some fine eats over there. Go check them out. It's in a town called, and I kid you not,
Clitoris?
Big Bone Lick.
Big Bone Lick.
Big Bone Lick.
Big Bone Lick, Kentucky.
You weren't that far off with clitoris.
Yeah, I know. I was waiting to hear that, clitoris.
Yeah, that's on the other side of the fence.
Yeah.
Now, of course, you do know that these people, now they know that we're talking about them because I told them. So.
Oh, great. Sorry.
Good job, guys.
Sorry,
Ted
Jane.
Wrote all those jokes.
Yeah, so.
His That's email okay. is ted yeah. at.
So when you're down there, say hello to Tony, Brett, and Samantha down at Jane's Saddlebag. Give them a call. Check out what they got. They got some cool stuff. They have a. Apparently,
well, now from what Justin said, I want to go down there and ride now.
It really is. It's very cool.
Yeah, it looks like a pretty cool place. They have an Easter egg hunt, so if we go now.
Oh, yay.
Do they hide bourbon?
That would be
bourbon-filled eggs.
Bourbon-filled eggs. You guys think good. I like that.
That would be great.
I had broccoli for dinner, and it's letting me know.
Better not let us know.
Cauliflower. You guys want to do the bike shootout this week?
Fine.
I mean, fine. Don't say it like that.
Fine.
We do this bike shootout every week where we pick three bikes.
Yeah. We got Justin here. We got to do it. See what he thinks.
Yeah. Okay. Now we have the fourth voice. So now this could be the tiebreaker if we pick different bikes.
We have the man from Marty.
This week on the bike shootout, we're doing scooters.
Uh-oh, shit.
No. Of course. You got a motorcycle guy here.
Finally, yeah, right? We got a Harley Davidson guy here, and we're doing a fucking scooter. Yeah.
Okay,
it's in between the Bergman. No.
Yeah.
The Vespa.
All right. So our three bikes this week are the Vespa GTV 300.
Picture.
The Peugeot Stalus 400 and the Piaggio MY17 BV350.
Okay,
you fucking
retarded.
People with your names. What did I tell you about that weeks ago? What did I say? Remember what I said?
I can't make it simple.
Make it simple. Call it the bug. I don't care. Anyway, so here we go with the Vespa GTV 300. Did I say the F word just there?
Isn't that the one I sat out on at the show?
Yes, it is the one we sat out on the show.
Vintage, unmistakable Vespa touch. There you have it, folks. That's a good looking
If I had
bike.
The money to piss away, I'd get one as a goof.
So it's
ride it around.
As a goof?
You know what? I think for what they are, you know, they're kind of cool looking.
If I wanted milk late at night, I'd just hop on a Vespa and go.
They kind of have that retro.
Yeah, they do. That's why I like them.
If you wanted to milk something?
Yeah, I said if I needed milk late at night, I would hop on the Vespa.
If you want to milk something, go down to Big Lick.
Yeah.
He went there.
He did. He took it.
But you know what? The thing, we get scooters in on trade-in every now and again at the dealership.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, okay. And I always think about, like, that's got to be so scary at 80 miles an hour.
No, you ain't shit.
You know what I mean?
I've never ridden. Well, I rode yours.
But mine wasn't like that, though.
I did, like, maybe 50 on yours.
No, mine went up to 75.
And it was kind of scary. Even though it was kind of weird. Yeah. Didn't feel like it's sitting on my bike.
I like mine.
Keep in mind, I've interviewed a lot of people who have taken their Vespas, the GTS series, and have toured all around the United States on them and through Africa.
Wow.
So imagine loading this thing up with everything you own and going through Africa on it.
Wow.
Yeah? Mm. Justin's going like, let's do it, man. This is badass.
Now, what size engine is on that?
All right, this has got a 300 okay. CC engine, $7,599.
You could use the seat height?
Yeah, seat height. Here we go.
How much is it?
31.1 inches. So you don't have to worry about falling over with this. It's got a 2.5-gallon tank capacity. Top speed of 73.3 miles per hour.
Yeah, I would just like to see if you're right, like how
you know what?
Crazy that must be to go
at
on.
That point, does that 0.3 miles an hour really make a difference?
Yeah, no.
I don't think so. I think.
But just say 73.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I mean?
I imagine
if you get that extra three, good for you.
Yeah, I imagine a guy on a drag strip going, okay, let's do this.
76 miles per gallon.
Yeah, wow. 76 miles per gallon, yeah. So there you have it. That's the technical specs on this bike. Do we call it a bike? I guess we call it a bike.
This is a scooter, right?
So $7,600.
Damn, that's a lot for that scooter.
It comes in one color, green.
Pea soup.
Is that pea soup green?
I would say so.
Yeah. Okay, we'll go with that. All right,
how much
second
is the 500?
They don't make a 500. That's the biggest one they make.
No, he's talking about street.
Oh, the street 500. It's like 62 and change, right?
It's mid-sixes. It's like 60.
Wow, so the Vespa's more expensive than that.
Yeah.
And less motor.
Yeah, and less motor.
Yep. And, wow. Yeah. Lower seat. That's got a higher seat height, too.
That just has a little cult following. Those,
it does.
Those scooters.
And I feel like that's the only reason that they can,
that's pretty
they
much
can
it.
Pull that price
yeah.
point.
That's more
and now this.
Because you're going to get a Vespa nerd buy.
Well, but they don't hold their value at that number.
No.
The Blue Book value on that, like, instantaneously is half of it.
Wow. That's horrible.
That's not good.
So you spend $7,600 and you decide, yeah, this wasn't the scooter for me. And you go to trade it back in and it's worth, like, $3,800.
Wow. How about that? Look
That's
at that.
Pitiful.
See? There's a learning for you. So if you get one, you hang on to it for the rest of your life.
Yeah.
That looks like your bike, Tim.
And then you wait for it to like until it's like worth
to
nothing.
One of these.
Then
I
it's worth
could
something.
Afford it.
So this is the what did I say? It was the Peugeot? Yeah, it's the Peugeot Stalus 2 400. It's got a 400cc engine. Four stroke? Liquid cooled. Weighs 213 kilograms. Oh, why did it do that? What's kilograms? 213 inches. You know?
Okay. No. I wouldn't own. I wouldn't own that thing anyway.
Okay, fine.
That thing is hideous.
You don't like it?
I don't.
I like it better than the Vespa.
Really? Sad.
Do you really?
I would take the Vespa over that all day long.
I would. Yeah. 4,799 lira. This is actually, by the way, it's two Italian bikes and one French bike. This is the French bike.
How come you didn't pick the Honda or the...
Because I wanted to stay away from the big manufacturers. I wanted to go to the manufacturers that were the smaller ones that, you know... Seat height, okay.
Well, I wouldn't say they're smaller.
Yeah, well, I have to dig into the interwebs.
Now, that's a scooter.
That's a scooter right there. There's a Street 500 right there. Or is that the 750? That's the 750. All right.
Do you know how to tell the difference?
Yeah, look at the on
the fins.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
On the 500, they're all black. They're machined on the 750.
Oh, no kidding. I didn't know that. See, learned something new.
Wow. He knows something.
He knows stuff. He's
insight.
He's a fart smeller. I mean, smart fellow.
What are you doing?
Well, we have to find out what the height
of
this.
He's checking his Bitcoin.
That's funny. 784. All right. 784. 308 inches. That's wrong. 30-inch seat height. 30 point. That's what it is on that, 30-inch seat height.
Okay, well, what was the price? The price.
$47.99 in French money.
Lira?
Is that lira? Is it lira for French?
Lira.
I don't know what. That's a tie. That's Italy.
Lira.
All right, so, because we're stupid.
What
we're
the fuck is that now?
Oh, that's a nice
that's a soft tail custom.
It's a euro. They use euro.
It's $1.23.
$1.23. So it's a little. So it's a little more expensive than.
If that's the case, I will buy one right now. Shit.
This is
oh, that's
like
cool.
Riveting radio, isn't it?
1,200 roads there.
Falling off. Everything
this thing weighs. Are you kidding me? This thing weighs 469 pounds.
Wow.
Holy crap.
Shit.
Wow.
That's pretty fucking heavy, man.
That is way heavy for that.
That's like right up there with a Triumph.
You get Bonneville. You get your choice of black, white, or gray with this one. I'm not impressed.
Yeah, yeah, Tim's scooter looked like that. Very, very much like that.
So that's that one. Okay. And our final pick.
Piaggio.
The Piaggio. It's a Vespa wannabe.
Oh, my God. That looks tiny as shit.
It's actually a, what was it? What did I say? Was it 250? All right. For $63.99, you get this little, it's a 350, believe it or not.
Wow.
How did they cram a 350 into that?
Does that say it has ABS?
It has ABS. Holy Why in God's name do you need ABS on a scooter?
I don't know.
Are you really going that fast?
No. Well,
it's maybe,
anti-skid.
Well, you know, you don't want to skid. That's the whole thing.
I was
going
to say, maybe because of how light it is, you have to run the risk of unloading the tire.
I don't
right?
know.
Yeah.
32.8 horsepower. Top speed of 86. That's why you need the ABS.
Wow, it's fast.
That's pretty slow, man. It's got a 3.4-gallon fuel tank, 65 to 70 miles per gallon. Nice to narrow that down, guys. The bigger... Oh, it's got... Doesn't it... You know what? It's got a 110 front and a 150 rear tire. Huh. Not the pizza cutters that I expected.
Yeah.
It's got 31-inch seat height, and it weighs 390. So there you go.
And all of these scooters are just they're special. It's for that little culture of people that buy these.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They're not motorcycle riders per se. They just buy scooters.
That's it.
Now, this is just a matter of what you like.
When I come back in my next life, I'm going to start a scooter gang.
A scooter gang.
With a really, really scary badass name, so it throws the whole thing off.
Yeah.
The Death Marauders, and you pull up on a fucking.
Yeah, and your logo is a clown with a cruiser in its mouth.
Yeah,
I like it.
Yeah,
I like it.
Works.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, so there's your choices, kids: the Piaggio, the Peugeot, or the Vespa.
Already, you know which one I'm going to pick. Vespa.
Let's get a bigger picture of this. Wink. Tim's liking Peugeot. I don't know. Justin thinks that's badass.
I don't know. I mean,
I like the retro look of the Vespa.
I would go Vespa.
And I've known about Vespa for years. Yeah. Like, that's the first scooter I've ever heard about. I was like, what's a scooter?
They're neat looking. You know what I mean? Like, they got cool little lines.
I like that little old look to them.
The Peugeot looks like it looks too stuck up to me.
I think I'll go with Piaggio.
It looks like it wants to be a crotch rocket.
I would think more of the Piaggio.
You'd really go with the Piaggio, really?
Yeah. It's a little bit lighter.
Yeah. Okay. Go with that.
Let's all go test ride the new Vespas.
Well, I like the Death Marauder shirts on. I like the Vespa because it's got the racks on it.
So the Vespa wins.
The Vespa wins. We like a motorcycle with racks.
And is that bags on the side? I can't remember.
No, that's just part of the engine. Wow. Part of the just the frame.
Oh, okay.
Wait, the seat folds open in the storage
and
under
that. Rack on the
front folds down too. And the front on the rack on the front extends, so you can.
Yeah, they're spring loaded.
Oh, yeah, 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 yeah.
Bing.
Yeah, so there you have it.
Shoot your milk in the
air. Go out and get yourself a GTV 300 Vespa scooter for $7,600.
And you can wear the built helmet that you win tonight.
That's right.
It's on it.
Yep.
You can attach your
and then
holder.
Your cup holder on it.
And put the cup holder and the lock.
Just remember to take that lock off.
I don't try to drive off because then you'd be.
That's why I don't want that lock. Because I know I would forget about that.
Well, because actually, it's got a yellow cable that attaches to your handlebar, so that you can't forget to do that. You hope, anyway.
That's yeah.
There's a shovel head.
All right. So now, as you know, we have Justin Brown here from Bergen Harley Davidson, and he's going to come here. He's here to tell us all about what they do there and what kind of things they're going to give us. Justin, how are you, man? It's good
I'm
to have
awesome.
You here.
It's awesome to be here.
Yeah, you haven't been here since our first year. What?
I was going to say, do you know what episode number it was?
I can find out real quick.
You were in the first 10, I think.
I don't know about
I
that.
I want to say the first 10.
We can find out right now. Chris,
how many repeat guests have you had?
We've had a few. Believe it or not, Huffy the Clown has been on 5 times.
So I got to beat Huffy.
Actually, you have
he sends us pictures of girls with your boobies out.
Yeah,
I can do that.
You start doing that, you'll be on more.
Steve on twice.
And Steve has been on 3 times. Steve Blatfeder from.
Yeah,
he's been on a few times.
Awesome.
Three times.
And he's a Triumph guy.
I know.
Yeah.
He's a cool dude.
Yeah, very cool.
Up at TT Cycles.
He knows his shit.
So well. I mean, what do you really want to know as far as about?
So, what
the
do you got going on up there? Any specials
what's going on?
Any specials going on?
Well, winter's an interesting time usually because most people aren't thinking motorcycle because it's cold. But this year's been a little bit different because of the new M8s and the Softail. So, even though the weather has kind of been crappy, the sales have not. We've been moving a lot of bikes lately. The buzz with the new Softails has been really good so far. So, obviously,
it's my baby.
I can't speak for how summer's going to be yet, but I can. If it's going to be anything the way, I mean, if January is to show anything for what's coming the rest of the year, we're going to be selling these things like crazy. You know, the three major complaints that everybody had. This is like one of those for me, like one of those like Harley did something right kind of things where it's like. You know, everybody complained for the longest time, well, they're too heavy, you know, they're underpowered, and they don't handle well. I don't know that I agreed with those things, but those were complaints that you heard pretty frequently, so Harley said, fine. And they literally took care of all those things.
Yeah.
And, you know, so the frame is substantially lighter, it's stronger, the motor's got way more power, that new motor is just unbelievable. If you haven't test rode one, do it. But bring your checkbook because you're going to buy it right after. I mean, those things, man. I've been working there now for 4 years, and all the guys I work with are always breaking my balls to get a new bike. And it's funny that nothing really kind of drove me to do that, and then I rode one of these new motors, and I was like, man, if anything.
Which one did you ride?
Well, I've ridden most of them now at this point, but the first one that I rode. Was the Fat Boy actually?
Oh, okay. Hold on.
Touching myself.
Wait, Chris. Should we tie him up while he talks?
Keep your hands out of your pants.
You know what, Tim? Go get some paper towels real quick.
No, I don't want nothing.
For the listeners, if you don't know, Fat Boy is like one of my all-time favorite bikes.
The new one's awesome too.
It's absolutely beautiful.
I mean, honestly, I can't speak for enough, and I think. You know, there was, like, a lot of fallout in the very beginning, you know, because everyone was like, how could you eliminate the Dynaline and this and that? And you know, it's funny, when you think back and the history of any time that Harley did anything, everybody lost their minds about it for a little while.
Yeah.
You know, it's like when Harley decided to just go fuel injection, everybody was like, how could they get rid of carburetors, this, that, the other thing? And now it's like, you know, nobody cares.
Yeah. Nobody
you know
wants.
I mean?
Nobody wants. Everybody wants fuel injection.
You know, so, I mean, it's like one of those things where... Harley has done this time and time again where they've been really good about being on the forefront of technology and doing things that are a gamble as far as they are trying it, and either it works or it doesn't work, but they've been willing to take those risks throughout the course of time, and there's always fallout with that because there's always the people that just want it to stay the same forever.
Yeah. Well, on that topic, and this is a topic that's very near and dear to my heart, the Evo engine has been in use since 1984, I believe, and they're still being used now in the Sportsters. I mean, the elimination of that, I think, will cause ripples worse than the elimination of the Dynalon. Do you ever see Harley getting rid of that?
Well, eventually everything changes. I mean, it you know,
that's a long time to be using. Yeah.
Well, the flathead was used from the 30s into the 70s. Because they kept it in the server cars.
And the knuckle's still being used too.
I mean, there's eventually you're going to have to make some sort of changes. I mean, one of the cool things about when they get rid of a motor is if it was one of your favorite motors, you can start to get it for cheaper.
Yeah.
You know, like now, you can pick up an Evo for a real good price. You know, so if Evos are your thing and you want to build a second bike, you can go out and buy one real nice. You know what I mean? It was like the way that, you know, there's kind of a weird thing where it's like a bunch of these older guys used to go out and buy the Panheads because they can get them real cheap. Now Panheads, you know, $15,000 or something. You know what I mean? It's like,
well, knuckles are pretty expensive too.
Knuckles are stupid money, and knuckles are like $40,000.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
It's crazy money for an engine.
I would love.
Now, when you rode that bike, did you like it?
I did. I was curious when they first came out with it.
The fat boys are talking about?
Yeah.
Fat tires.
I was curious about that, yeah, because I was going to say it looks like it should only want to go straight.
Straight, yes. Yeah.
And so that was one of the reasons that, that's one of the reasons that I was curious to take it out and ride it, and I took it out, and I was surprised at how wide those tires are, how nimble that bike was.
Really?
As far as just being able to toss it around and that sort of thing. It was really cool. I rode the Heritage, too. And the Heritage has always been like a go-to bike for me. To me, it's kind of the middle-of-the-road, do-everything bike. If you like taking long trips, but you're not taking them all the time, and it's, you know, it's not too big to ride around town, and it's not inadequate for a long trip. It's kind of that perfect do-all bike. They handle awesome. They look great. They're functional as hell. I mean, they're just awesome, awesome bikes, and I really like the new one. I know a lot of people struggle with chrome versus blacked out. I personally like a lot of what they've done with the blacked out look, but we're getting a lot of these guys that come in, they're just like, wow. Well, you know, I used to like chrome. It's like, well, you know, everything cycles through, and that sort of thing. But, like, the new Streetglide Specials, all blacked out with those wheels, man, they look awesome.
They do.
They look really, really good. I think Harley's doing, a lot of really cool shit right now as a company. The clothes they're coming out with are...
I love their clothes, man.
Yeah, so do I.
Their clothes this year are awesome. And, you know, there was a few years back where it was kind of getting weird. Where it's like I'd look and I'd be like, a purple Harley Davidson golf shirt was just weird to me, you know. And it's like this year, you know, they've come out with a couple different collections that are, I would say, a bit more vintage looking.
I love their vintage line that they have out now.
They're just coming out with some awesome, awesome stuff.
Oh my god, the vintage stuff is awesome.
Hey, going back to bikes, we got to get your opinion.
Okay, got it.
Are you going to touch on that?
I'm going to go there.
He's going to. Oh, okay.
Okay, because we've been having this argument about the breakout.
Okay.
Okay, why did they go to the smaller tank?
I brought this up to you at the show.
Yeah, so. Do I know the answer? No. So there's a few different things. One, I would say because of the bikes being lighter. And because of the new design of the engine, the fuel economy is better than it had been. So I don't know if they did it for kind of that custom peanut style look. I mean, if you look at a lot of custom choppers, which, you know, that bike is basically designed after, it's the ability to buy a custom chopper right out of the box. You know, I mean, that's what always looked really, really cool about the breakout. But I think that they were not only trying to achieve that look, but because they were more fuel efficient, that they could get away with doing that. You know, yeah, it's,
but,
it's,
but don't you think the fatter tank looked better?
Like the 2017,
it just
tank
had a muscly look to it. With that fatter tank, yeah. It looked better. To me, it did.
I'll be honest with you, man. I like both of them. I like the older style, but I do like the newer style too. And I think the new Street Bob's awesome.
Oh, my Street! The new Street Bob is very nice,
and that has that smaller tank on it. To me, the Street Bob looks like
the design of the Street Bob. Though it works with that. I just don't think that new tank for the Breakout works for its style.
Now, do these bikes share the same frame?
Oh yeah, all the Softail models there.
Right?
All share the same frame.
Softail models all the same frame, right?
You could put that older tank back on this thing.
No, not the older tank because
No. But you could put the new. Well, hold on, let me think. Well, so here's where that gets dicey because they have the larger tank on the Softail model.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. Right? Which is the same frame you said.
What I mean by that is like what were considered the Softail models last year, usually for the most part. But they also have the larger tank on the Lowrider. Which would basically be the same tank that you had last year. The difference being the ones that have the smaller tank have the riser gauge where it's all digital.
Oh, okay.
And
the
larger tank bikes have the display in the tank. So you would have either you'd have a dual gauge or you'd have a lot of wiring to play with to make that transition.
Oh, okay.
Does that make sense?
Okay. Yeah.
All right. As I read an article where the reason for the small tank, one of the reasons was, is that they wanted to raise it up. They wanted to raise the tank so you could see more of the engine. But if they raised the tank up more, that means it would be too high, so they made it a little smaller. It's just an article that I had read. I think it was might have been Motorcycle.
Now, when you say see more of the engine, is that for access for working on it?
No.
It was a visual.
It's a visual thing, yeah. You actually have to take the tank off. Well, to do, because there's now four spark plugs, you actually have to lift the tank to get to the two on the inside.
Oh, really? Mm-hmm. Wow. Ooh, that's not a home job.
Oh, wow.
It's not. It probably sounds worse than it is because it's two bolts, but.
Well, we're talking about now you got to worry about the hoses and make sure you have enough room to move.
Unless if there's slack already built into it, I'm sure.
Yeah, I mean, it's literally two bolts and it's just kind of giving yourself flexibility in the tank. Like I said, it probably sounds worse than it is, but it's worth it. So that new motor.
So what did you think of the Street Bob? You rode that?
The Street Bob is cool. To me, I think the Street Bob is very reminiscent of the Nightster in, like, aesthetics. But it's like having the Nightster, but with a gigantic motor in it and an extra gear in the transmission, which is like, how can you go wrong?
Yeah.
You know, so that's what I think is really cool about it. Plus, because it doesn't look intimidating, I think what used to be difficult for a lot of people to wrap their head around is the first thing that you look at when you look down is the tank. And if you're coming off a Sportster where it's got that real narrow tank, because they were taller but thinner, you come off of that, and then all of a sudden you look down, and this tank, it's lower and wider, and you just go, this bike is huge. And the bike's not that big, but it's because you're looking down at this tank that just looks big.
How about the Fat Bob?
Fat Bob's awesome.
Yeah?
It handles awesome. It looks cool. When it first, the first day I saw it, I didn't love it. Now I think it's my favorite bike that they came out with the whole thing.
It's got kind of got that nearly sport bike feel look to it.
Yeah, it's definitely interesting. It's like an end of the world like apocalypse machine.
You know what? That's exactly what I was trying to. It was just popping in my head. I was like, "That's yes,
it's badass, man."
How many guys think want to take this thing off road?
Yeah. Well, that's kind of what we were talking about before. Where you know, it you kind of almost could.
Fast bike.
Oh yeah, the 114 on that one, you'll have an eyebrow to eyebrow smile.
Wow. Yeah.
They handle awesome, and if you look at the picture that you've got up right now,
with the pipes.
Well, right above it is you can adjust the preload of the suspension with that knob. No tools right there on the side of the road.
Yeah, they did the demonstration.
So you can really dial these things in, you know, and you don't need. tools. You don't have to pull anything apart. You can literally just sit there and twist the dial and fine tune it.
How's the ride on this one?
Really nice.
Yeah.
I like that it's got the forward controls. I'm a forward controls guy. A lot of people were kind of surprised that on a bike that kind of was that aggressive that they didn't put mids on it. But I really like it. I like that they kept the fact that the seat kind of locks you in.
Yeah.
What's cool about those is you really feel like it's holding you in there. I think that's awesome.
That's what I felt like when I rode the Breakout for the first time. I Chris and I had the chance to ride the Pro Street Breakout, the CVO Pro Street Breakout.
Oh, yeah.
So when you twist the throttle on that thing, you know it feels like you want to throw you off the back.
That thing fucking blew me away, man. I was fucking flying. I was only in fourth gear doing like fucking 75, 80 miles an hour. I was like, holy shit. Then I fucking gunned it and chirped the tires. I was like, wow.
Yeah, that's
and it was surprisingly light. I don't know how the new Breakout is, but last year's Breakout.
It's lighter.
That's what
I had a chance to sit on one over there.
But I thought the Breakout itself just felt, when I got on it, I was like, why does this feel small to me? Mm. It actually did.
It's very low to the ground, for one.
Yeah.
That's maybe what did it. That makes a huge difference.
I can't wait to, I want to test ride the new bikes.
Yeah, we're looking forward to the... When spring rolls around and they have the demo days, we're definitely.
Well, you don't need to wait for demo days to come in and test ride.
No.
Mm-mm.
Yeah, it almost feels like, I guess the reason why people don't want to do tests because they feel like when they're done with the ride, they're going to get pressured to try to sign some papers.
Not with us. I mean, I can't speak for other places, but you know, I think here's the biggest thing to overcome, and this is totally, it's totally the fault of car companies. You know. The people that work at motorcycle dealerships are motorcycle riders, are guys that are passionate about the sport. So it's not – buying a motorcycle, at least in my experience, because I've bought them all kinds of different places and all kinds of different ways, is that, you know, it's supposed to be it's a much easier process. It's a lot more fun. You know, the person who's selling it to you has the same passion about it as the person that's buying it. You know, it's not a necessity. It's something that you want to do, and we – treat it that way. I mean, we treat it as if you're doing it because it's something that's supposed to be fun and enjoyable, let's make it fun and enjoyable. You know, I don't ever want somebody coming in and feeling like I'm pressuring them. I don't ever want somebody to feel like they have to buy that day because I don't want somebody to do that to me.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I hate going to a car dealership. I hate it.
Because they do that to you.
Yeah, because they want you to come out of there.
And
they don't give a shit.
You know, and the other thing, too, is that, like, car dealers are like vultures, man. Like, it's, you know... Even like the salesmen that work there are like trying to undercut each other, and it's like you walk into our dealership, and I mean, I know you've been there.
Yeah.
I mean, you walk into our dealership, and it's like you feel like you're just hanging out at your buddy's house.
They're lining
up because everybody's cool there. I mean, it's awesome to just hang out there.
You know,
you guys lining up bourbon up there too.
We have beer.
A beer. Okay.
I just hung out there.
Bourbon.
Like the people.
Well, I mean, I have bourbon.
Tell us about the Sport Glide.
Sport Glide.
Have you ridden it?
I haven't yet.
Ah.
It's real new, mid-year launch. It's very cool because the saddlebags and that front fairing
come off
very easily. And what I love about the way that the Sport Glide looks is it has that, especially when it's stripped down, it has that, to me, that classic Harley cruiser. I mean, that is like textbook. You look at it and you're like, dude, that is just... But with nice modern upgrades as far as what Harley's done this year, frame-wise, and that sort of thing.
How does the new Lowrider compare to the Dyna Lowrider?
Well, for one, it's going to handle better just based on the new frame.
Yeah.
You know, and that sort of thing. But one of the things I really like about the new Lowrider is if you look at the new, and not that the, you know, the past few years didn't, but if you look at the new Lowrider, it looks like you could be looking at the Lowrider from the late 70s when it first came out. I mean, to me,
oh, really?
I think so. To me, it has a lot of that I think they really hit the mark.
Okay, yeah. I can see it.
I mean, you know, it looks like you could throw an AMF sticker on the side of it and not know the difference. You know what I mean? So that's one of the things I think that's pretty cool about that.
When I was in the Navy and I was stationed down in Guantanamo, this was 1977.
First year of Lowrider.
Yeah, a guy that was stationed there. He was one of the chief that was down there. he had ordered one. And that was back in the day when there weren't Harley dealers on every street corner. Mm-hmm. You ordered a bike and you waited until it showed up. And he got his and he had it delivered down there to the base. And it looked like that.
Yeah. And that's what I love about it because, you know, it's an interesting thing. And I'm sure the guys at Harley really struggle with it because, you know, you have your customer base that you've always had, right? But you want to bring in the people that you don't have. And you have to balance keeping the stuff that the guys that have been there forever like while introducing things that maybe now entice the people that hadn't previously been interested in it, and now you get them interested. Yeah. You know what I mean? And so it's crazy because we get so much feedback at the store. You know, you'll have somebody walk in and be like, dude, that Fat Bob is the coolest bike I've ever seen. And maybe the guy's, you know, in his 30s, 40s, whatever the case may be. And then you'll have some 60-year-old guy come in, and he's like, I don't like that they're blacking the new shit out. He's like, but that lowrider's awesome. Right. You know what I mean? So it's like, you know, it's everybody finds something different. And Harley, I think, this year kind of had a pretty good balance of this is, you know, some of the old, this is some of the new, so that you kind of have that balance for everybody. Yeah. I mean, if you look at the Heritage, the Heritage has a lot of kind of throwback stuff to like the older like duo glides and stuff.
I think
there's some pretty cool stuff that they did with that. And I don't know if you guys
got a very classic look to it.
Yeah.
Hey, well, before we move on to that, Tim, look at, did you see this? Does that look like something you could get into?
Absolutely. Yes, I was looking at that. I was going to ask if you can get these upgrades and add-ons to it.
Totally.
That's something I like. And I'm just curious, with the can you do the same thing with the new, what's the one we did before this? The Sport Glide.
Well, the Sport Glide comes with bags.
Bags and a windshield. That might be more your up and right.
Can you get a seat?
A two-up seat?
Seat.
Absolutely.
Yes?
Did you sit on, what did I do?
Oh, Jesus.
Did you sit on the, did you sit on the Sport Glide at the show?
I sat on everything.
Oh, you did? Okay.
Have you guys seen the new Anniversary bikes?
Yes. As far as, like, the paint sets, the 115 Street Glide. I love that thing.
So, the which one? The gloss or the flat blue?
Flat blue. Okay. The flat blue is beautiful. So, it's all blacked out.
The Anniversary Heritage is in the gloss two-tone, and on that bike, it looks awesome. Real awesome.
They don't have the. They're not showing the. They don't have the anniversary paint here on any.
Hey,
these.
You didn't talk about the deluxe yet.
Yeah, I like the deluxe too. That's another one I would like.
Why would he talk about the deluxe? Anybody remember?
No, we didn't.
You know what I'm talking about? Are you with me on the same page?
Oh, that. Yeah, well, yeah. We're gonna get to that in a second. We're gonna get to that in a second. But here is the deluxe. We're gonna get to that in a second. The deluxe, and correct me
beautiful
if I'm wrong.
Bike. It's got that classic look.
It's a
classic.
It's a Heritage without the bags and a windshield.
For argument's sake.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I would say the deluxe and the slim kind of have that
minimalist look. Yeah.
Well, but that, like, kind of, you know, knucklehead, flathead kind of look where, you know, you could be, you know, 50 feet away from it and go, is that bike from the 40s or is that a 2017, 2018, or whatever the case may be. My second bike was a deluxe. I had a black deluxe and I loved it. They're very cool bikes. And that's another one, you know, the only thing that they made subtle changes to it, but for the most part, they kind of kept true to how it had looked in previous
years.
Beautiful
bike, man.
The one, I would say the one major change that they made to it was the lighting and the turn signals. I don't know if you can get to a picture. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Go
look
back.
At it. Yeah,
go
so,
back.
Yeah. Yeah, the blade. Yeah, they got the blade lights back.
So,
there.
To me, it's kind of one of it's a modern look for sure.
Modern retro.
Yeah. That's kind of where I was going to go with it. It's a modern look for sure, but while still trying to have kind of like that 50s
style.
I dig it. You know what I mean? And if you can find that same picture but on the front of the bike, you'll see the way they did it on the front.
Yeah, I'll see whatever they give me. Yeah, right there in front.
Yeah.
Wow. You know, when I test rode the bike last year at this time, I had, of course, I ride the Heritage anyway. But when I got on this, I guess because there was a weight difference between not having the bags and the two-up seat, not having a windshield, but the bike handled differently.
How so?
How it just felt...
looser?
No, it, I believe it or not, I felt like I was trying to steer a whale. It just felt really slow, unresponsive.
Without all the stuff on it.
Without all the stuff on it. Sense. Yeah, I don't know. It just didn't feel...
It felt fat.
Yeah, me, in a sense. In a sense, it felt like, I don't really want to. But,
I almost wonder if it was like a tire pressure thing. Only because when I had my Deluxe...
Yeah.
I could damn near ride that thing like a sport bike. I mean, it. I rode that thing so aggressive that the bottom pipe I had shaved completely. Oh, it wasn't. It was gone.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah. I mean, I used to be able to get that thing so far over, and it was like a dream, that thing. So that's why I'm almost wondering if.
Yeah, maybe it was. Say, maybe. Because, mind you, the bike has been test ridden all day long. And
yeah, I would say outside. Maybe give it another shot.
Yeah. Oh, there you go. There's, there it is with windshields in the bag. All right, look at that.
Top box and all.
Yeah. So there you have it. Now, so we're going to move on to, what was the other bike we were going to talk about? I was going to ask you about the... Well, we did the Fat Boy Sport Glide Deluxe Lowrider Slim. We like the Slim. We took the, we rode the Slim last year.
I did. I was supposedly surprised by the Slim.
Now, how about the Street Glide and the Electric Glide? Have you done them?
Yeah, well, the
what Dyna did they... I'm sorry. What Dyna did they move up? Into soft tails?
The Street Bob and the Lowrider and the Fat Bob.
Okay.
The outside of aesthetics, the touring bikes remained unchanged this year. So what they changed this year was now on the special models, they're all blacked out versus being chrome. And the standard models are basically what the special model was last year. However... the standard models became kind of a la carte items. So you can you have the option of ABS security or the upgraded radio on the standard, and then you would basically be buying what the special was last year. Or you can get the Street Glide special this year, all blacked out, and it comes with ABS security and the upgraded radio.
Yeah. Wow. You trying to sell us a bike?
No, I would never do such a thing.
all right. So let's get into this thing. A few weeks ago, we were sitting down here to do our show, and Chris comes in and says, "Justin, won a bike." I'm like, "What?" He says, "Yeah, Justin won the Deluxe." I'm like, "No way!" Yeah, he did, and I believe there was a picture somewhere. Wasn't there a picture somewhere or something? I don't know.
There was
yeah,
photographic
there was
evidence.
There was a picture there, and here Justin he's won a Harley Davidson Deluxe. And it turns out it was a 2017. Mm-hmm. So we're like, oh, my God, this is awesome, great. Justin?
It was a lie.
Was it really?
Yeah, so here's what happened. So what had happened was we had had a very good customer of ours who's since become friends with the majority of the people at the dealership. It was his birthday. And he had asked, would you guys mind if I had like a Harley-themed birthday at your guys' dealership? And we said, no, absolutely. So what he did was he had this bike set up and he had this sign up front that everybody was coming to the party. He was taking pictures in front of it. So as a joke, he put on his Facebook page, he goes, I'm raffling this bike off tonight to anybody who comes to my birthday party. So this one guy, that was supposed to come that didn't come, it was a last-minute thing, and I was like, we have to mess with him, because he started texting everybody going, is he actually raffling off that bike? We're like, yeah, you should have come. So, you know, we get to having a couple drinks and everything, and we're like, we got to make him think that I won this, because then he would be kicking himself for not going. So the only way to make it truly believable was to take the picture, make it seem like I won, and post it, because if we just sent it to him, we were like, I don't know if it's going to be believable.
Right.
So we posted it, and unfortunately... right before we posted, I'm like, man, the only downside to this is there's going to be so many innocent bystanders in this. But I was like, he's totally going to buy it. So we posted.
Fucking great.
That's we posted great. It, and then we had other people from the party that he didn't even know.
But that made that sells it, though. The fact that...
They went on. They were like, oh, one guy was like, I was one number off from yours. Like, congratulations and all this. So he starts calling everybody at the party, and nobody's answering. So now he's just calling and calling and calling, and nobody's answering.
I bet you your phone started blowing up.
Oh, yeah. So he's calling, and nobody's answering. He's calling, nobody's answering. And he, did he really win that part? Did he really win it? So nobody answers him for until the next day. And he finally calls me at like 3 o'clock in the afternoon the next day, and that's when I told him it was a joke. And he was like, "Did you literally set that whole thing up to mess with me?" And I was like, "Yep." So we all got a really good laugh about it. But like I said, unfortunately, there was innocent bystanders.
That's
brilliant. We talked brilliant. About it on the show too.
That's good though.
I know.
That's brilliant. Fucking great.
Brilliant. Oh, I love that. That's great.
How awesome! Like you would have had, you had two bikes. How awesome would that have been?
Oh my god! What would you do with yourself?
I mean, what's better than one bike is two, and what's better than two is three. I mean, it's one of those situations. Where
you know what I hear from people who aren't motorcycle people? Well, if you want a bike, you can just sell it and use the money to. I'm like, you go no, you don't do that.
You don't sell your bike. Keep it and you get another.
You know, yeah. The deal down by me is having contests. In fact, in April 1st, they're actually giving away a Roadster, which is like my favorite.
Have you ridden them?
Yeah.
He loves them.
I love the Roadster. Oh, my God. That bike is too much fun. You know, and my big fear is that because it's been quiet in the Harley world lately. Everybody's that there's something going to happen. What do you think of this 100 bikes and 10 bikes and what was it, 100 bikes in 10 years? What do you think of that?
I'm excited for it, honestly, because, I mean, you know, it's always when you can be a part of something as it's happening that's really cool.
Yeah.
I mean, that's awesome.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? You know, I've worked so many shitty jobs in my life, and, you know, I've yet to have a day in the 4 years that I've been working for Harley that I woke up and said, I don't want to go to work.
Okay, who here in this room has a shitty job? Raise your hand. There we go. Okay.
You know what I mean?
Three of the four.
Yeah, I mean,
you guys hire.
I don't know what it's like to have a job like that.
Yeah,
it's awesome. I mean, you know, and I've had so many cool opportunities from working with Harley. I don't know if we ever talked about this, but last year, Harley flew me and another guy from the dealership out to Vegas. First time in Vegas.
Oh, that's what I remember when you went to Vegas.
And they brought us to the Las Vegas Motor Speedway, and they had what was called a competitive comparison. Basically what they did was they brought in Harleys and then the competitive equivalent. So you would have like a Sportster and then you'd have a Triumph Bonneville and then you'd have like a Yamaha and so on and so forth.
Indian?
Yeah. So and then they had these guys who teach professional track racers how to ride motorcycles there.
Yeah.
And they basically gave us like a crash course. That's probably not the way to put it, but they gave us a kind of like a cliff noted version of what they teach in school to just kind of make us just that much better riders. And then they said, pick a bike and go around the track. And we did that for 2 days, and they basically said, we want you to ride all of them.
Wow.
And so,
that's the fucking shit.
That was awesome. So, wow. I was riding Indians, I was riding Triumphs, I was riding Yamahas, I was riding Hondas, I was riding BMWs, I was riding Harleys around on the ZMAX Proving Grounds in Las Vegas Motor Speedway.
Damn.
Yeah, it was very, very cool. And, you know, what was so interesting about that trip is me and the other guy that went out, you know, we're flying out, so we're... You know, we have our bag and then we have our helmets, and obviously we're wearing Harley stuff, and we're sitting in both, you know, Newark Airport, and then it was Chicago, and then it was Vegas, and vice versa. And I can't tell you how many people, riders or not, see you sitting there in a Harley shirt with a helmet, and they want to know what you're up to.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, because they're like, these guys are getting ready to do something. You know what I mean? They're in an airport, they got a helmet, you know, and they're wearing Harley stuff. Like, so... So everybody wanted to know, and you know, so
because if you're wearing BMW stuff, they think you're going to get coffee at Starbucks, right?
Yeah, right.
So it, I mean, that was cool. I met more people on that trip in airports than I've ever met in airports before. I mean, normally you walk through an airport and it's like you check in, you get your shit, you sit down, you get on a
right.
plane. You don't talk to anybody.
Right.
You know, here, people were like coming up to us and like we'd be sitting there eating lunch and people were like, hey, what are you guys doing and what's going on? And the next thing you know, as we're telling the story, other people start overhearing it. You have the people standing around you and they're like, man, how cool is that? And that's one of the other really cool things that, you know, working for Harley is like, even if somebody comes in that's not a Harley rider, they are still like, man, but how cool must it be to work for Harley? You know, like, anytime somebody asks me what I do for a living, and I say work for Harley, they're like, how awesome is that?
Wow.
You know, whether they're into bikes or not. You know what I mean? And, and so this kind of ties into everything that we've been talking about, but, you know, that's one of the differences, I think, when you have a building full of people who love not only what they do, but what they provide. You don't have to pressure people into anything, and it doesn't have to be a shitty environment, because the experience alone sells itself. You know, you have to try and sell something when you're selling something that sucks.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I mean?
Right.
Good point. So, that's a very good point.
So it's the kind of thing where when people come in, it's not about, you know, trying to push somebody on something. It's just
like their bikes sell themselves almost.
Which one do you want, dude?
Yeah,
because
exactly.
They're all awesome. You know, so it's really more. What my job is more than anything else is making sure that I'm fitting somebody to the right one for them. You know, because the last thing you want is if you want somebody who's coming around, they're going, listen, I really take very short trips. I think I want a limited. I don't think you do. You know what I mean? Or, you know, on the other side of the coin, and not to offend the guy with the Street 500, but if somebody came in and said, all I want to do is long trips, the first bike I wouldn't show them wouldn't be the Street 500, you know. So I always ask people, you know, what type of riding are you doing and what type of riding are you looking to either become?
What do you think you're going to do?
Yeah, because, you know, somebody might be saying, well, I'm getting rid of this bike because I want to start taking longer trips. All right, well, then let's look at bikes that maybe make more sense for that.
Yeah.
And so, you know, we're really more fit specialists than we are salesmen, if that makes sense.
That makes sense.
That absolutely makes sense.
You know, but working for Harley is very cool, and I think people get that vibe as soon as they walk in because they can tell. You know, when you walk into a place and somebody's having a shitty day at work, like you feel it immediately. Like you go to a grocery store and that cashier who is like in a daze, like sending your Valencia oranges past the thing, like, typing in the number for bananas, and it's just like slamming it in a bag, and like could care less, like all zombied out. I mean. You don't get the same vibe as when you walk into a Harley dealership and everybody's laughing and smiling.
No, every time
fun.
I go to Bergen, it's like you said it before. You walk in there, it's like you just got to a friend's house. It's like people are just hanging out.
Yeah.
Everybody's
laughing.
In a good mood.
Yeah,
and you know nobody's fucking hounding you. You're like, hey, what's up, man? And it's, you know, that's it.
I always say that I go to my local dealer by me, Ocean County Harley, and I keep saying that. I'm there so much that they're either going to file a restraining order or they're going to give me a job.
That's true. Well, even at my dealership, we have this group of they're these retired guys that hang out there all the time. So they started hanging out in our coffee area, and they're there every day. So they're there more than the employees because every employee gets a day off. These guys don't take a day off. So they're actually there more than the people that work there. And so we made them a plaque a few years back. And basically what they do is they come into the dealership and they'll have coffee and they'll hang out and do that. And then they'll go out for a ride or they'll go grab lunch and that's kind of it. And they do this all the time.
Really? So, now these guys come in, they ride in and then they hang out all day long?
Yeah.
Really?
And so
they got that little bar there.
I know. I feel kind of weird like showing up at the Harley dealer all the time. Like I'll go like, I don't know, I'm kind of a pain in the ass if I just walk in there.
Well, we made them a plaque for their coffee area and we referred to them as the lucky bastards because they're the only people that literally get to do that every day. So it's pretty
awesome.
Cool. But we have, I can't tell you how many people, our dealership is like Cheers. It's like,
it is.
It's, We have, and that's cool. I mean, I don't mean that in a bad way at all.
No,
I mean,
of course not. No.
We have so many people that are in there every day, and I know more stuff about the customers at the dealership than I do some of my friends. I see people come in and be like, "Hey, man, you know, your daughter was going to college. How'd everything go?" Or, you know, how was that surgery? That, you know, I mean, I know all these things about all these people that come in because we see them all the time.
That's awesome.
You know, and you know, it's funny when you have somebody who's in our dealership who's never been to the dealership before, or they don't go that often, and they're just, maybe they're there for a T-shirt, or maybe they're there shopping for something, and then somebody will walk in the front door, and like half the store knows their name. And they're like, "Hey, John," and you know, this and that. And then all of a sudden, that person's like, "Man, I kind of want that." You know
right,
what I mean?
Right, yeah, right.
And people feed off of that, and it's just pretty cool. And so, you know, kind of between the excitement and everything else, it's just a cool place to be and fun place to hang out.
Oh, that's awesome, man. That's really
it is.
I get paid to hang out and talk about motorcycles all day.
Yeah, what more could you ask for?
Yeah, right? Exactly.
So one last thing: do you think they're going to do something to the Sportster this year? That's the last bike.
When you say do something, do you mean to the capacity that they did with the soft tails, where it's like a total revamp, or do I think that they're going to introduce, like a new model
Both.
Or something like that?
Both.
I would be quicker to say that I think maybe that they would introduce a new model.
Yeah. Well, you know, they trademarked the name Bronx,
right?
And what was the other one? There's three names
they
trademarked.
That Bronx one gets me. I think there's something's going to come
out. There's Bronx, Pan America, and, the 48X.
Right. Yeah. So, I mean, obviously you can kind of make your guesses as far as what the 48X is. But
That Bronx one now, that sounds like a new name for a new bike.
Yeah.
What? You know, that's the thing that you got to think about is these names that they're trademarking. I mean, they could be, are they parts collections?
Right.
Are they new models? Are they clothing? Right. So, I mean, that's the thing.
I'd like to see what they come out with a new Sportster.
I would be quicker to say that I think they would come out with a new model or models mm-hmm. within the Sportster family, but I would imagine power plant-wise that they will probably be the same.
The Evo's a... Why would you do something different?
Unless they decide to just get rid of Evo, which you said would cause a riot.
Pretty much.
But... Do I think that eventually, and I don't mean 50 years from now, but do I think in the near future that they might do some sort of something power plant wise with the Sportster?
You think it's possible they put them in the Walkie 8 in there?
Or a different iteration of it?
That's kind of where
like
I was
a lower,
thinking.
Lower ball end of
Yeah, because here's the other thing that you got to remember is you have a 500, you have a 750, you have an 883, you have a 1200, and then the next closest motor size is a 1750.
Yeah.
You know, so there's a big gap in between 1200 and 1750, especially considering that there's a big power difference between the 1200 and the 1750 because of the new technology in the design of the M8 motor.
So, oh, that's interesting.
Yeah.
So could they possibly come out with a brand new Sportster model 1300 or 1350
or 1400?
So that's that's
all right. Well, that's something
that's
you know
kind
what I'm
of that's kind of where my brain went with it a little bit. Yeah. But I don't know if that would be, because when Harley starts designing their motors, they start designing them like way before they come out.
Oh hell yeah, they've probably been working on it for 10 years.
Yeah. So, I mean, I don't, not that they tell me anyway, but I don't know that they've been that focused on the Sportster to where they've been designing a motor for the past 10 years. So, I mean, if it was something that they started thinking about, it could be the kind of thing where
10
maybe,
years from now we'll find out.
I don't know if it'd have to be quite that far because they have the technology for the M8.
Right.
But they would have to have somebody who's way smarter than me sit there and figure out how do we make it, how do we
refine it
to become a Sportster motor instead.
Yeah. Now, the Pan America leads me to think dual sport or adventure. You know, like I said, when I see that stealth Concept, which was an adventure bike concept. I go, maybe, but I don't know if Harley's ready for that yet.
That would be an interesting one because, you know, my dealership used to sell Harley and BMW.
Oh, okay. Really?
And, man, two different customers.
yeah, I bet.
You know, I mean, like, yin and yang. So, BMW guys are adventure guys.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And BMW guys are... I'm going to say riders because I don't mean to offend any women and any of that sort of thing. But BMW riders are nuts. Like, they... I don't mean that in a mean way.
No, I know.
But, like, they're nuts. And any BMW rider knows exactly what I'm talking about because, you know, you can walk up to a BMW rider and be like, what's the torque spec on the brake caliper bolt on... on, you know, like on an F800, and they're like, oh, well, it's X amount of foot-pounds. And it's like they know everything there is to know about this bike inside and out, and then they do these crazy customizations to them because it's not about look for them. It's about functionality. So
right.
You go on any of these BMW forums, and guys are like, here's how you put windshield wipers on your bike if you want to, and it's like real things. Like these guys are just like – but they're also the guys that you see out all the time. I mean, these guys don't put their bikes away.
But when it started snowing one day, he's right, because I saw a guy in a BMW come back from work.
Yeah. So, but I don't know if that guy, just because Harley made an adventure bike, I don't know if that guy would just say, well, screw it, then let me get the Harley.
I actually commented on my Facebook when I posted that. I said that the bike's got to be really good to win over that crowd.
Yeah.
That's going to like it.
Now, I will also say, I can't remember what magazine it was off the top of my head at the moment, but there's a magazine that reviews bikes of all different kinds, and they tend to lean very heavily towards, or favor, I should say, imports like the Japanese and the BMW.
Rider magazine.
And the M8 Motor and the Touring Line last year won Bike of the Year.
Yep.
Which, for them to do that...
That was amazing to me when I saw that. When Rider Magazine announced that, I was like, you're kidding me?
Yeah.
That was a surprise.
I mean, the proof is in the pudding there.
Yeah.
You know.
We like pudding.
Who doesn't? Yeah. They probably have delicious pudding down at Joni's Saddlebag.
Probably. Well, we're going to have to go check that out. Justin, thank you very much for joining us.
No problem. Thanks for having me.
Appreciate it. It's a lot of fun. You're very informative, enlightened us, and educated us. And we need educating.
Oh, we sure do.
Yeah. So remember, next week I'm having Brian Gosney, our Street 500 rider who went all over the United States on his Street 500. So we're going to talk to him next week. And don't forget, if you want to win this helmet and the bike lock and the ball bag carrier.
Ball bag.
Is it all
going to
go to one person?
No, well, I don't know. You
know, have separate contest.
Go into the contact page. It'll see one that says, I want the helmet. I want the lock. And there'll be another one up there that says,
and
I want
how you win all of it in once, you have to count how many hairs Ted's got.
No. The tenth person to sign up is going to get the helmet. 10th is going to get the lock, and the 10th is going to get the ball bag carrier.
You have to guess what your high blood pressure got
that day.
Exact numbers.
Yeah, you have to guess my blood pressure for that day. No, just kidding. So just go to our contact page on our website, motorcyclemen.us, and then just enter your email address in those spots, and then we're going to count them up. 10th person is going to get the stuff. Well, not all of it, but it's like, do it.
Do it.
And, guys, you got anything else you want to add?
Caca.
Nothing?
No.
Okay. No. Don't forget to go to our Facebook page, which is Motorcycle Men Podcast on Facebook. That's my bike. You know what? I want you to know here, and I'm saying it again for the 30,000th time.
What
here
are you
going to
say?
Now, I had talked to you already a bit about this once before. As you know, my bike has a squeak to it. It's a belt squeak.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So we think.
Regardless. No, it is. Regardless of what I do, it'll go away, and then it eventually comes back
again.
It would
be funny if anybody else rode the bike, it would never squeak.
It's me.
Right. It's me, it's me squeaking.
It's when your blood pressure is high that you squeak.
Yeah. So, anyway, it's working out this year that my tax return is going to cover everything I need to cover, but that's going to be the one of the things that's getting taken
care of. Dude, it's not going to get fixed. I don't give a fuck what they do to it.
My plan is to
You've tried this a dozen times.
Well, just so you know.
Yeah.
The new anniversary heritages don't squeak. So.
Well, I still owe money on the existing heritage.
That's okay. You can trade them in owing money.
Yeah, yeah, no, it's okay, because the net payment just makes my other payment bigger. Yeah. It's like, if it's coming out of your bank account, we'll talk.
We'll talk about it.
Yes.
So anyway, so I'm going to replace the rear pulley, and I think I'm going to might as well just replace the belt while I'm at it.
If I swear to fuck, if that squeak doesn't leave.
I'm going to if it,
I would be like, holy
if
shit.
If I spend all this, should I replace the inner pulley as well, the front pulley?
Yeah.
So I'll replace all three.
You have to look at it.
Just you're going to replace the whole no. fucking engine.
I'm the second owner, so the rear pulley is an aftermarket.
That entirely could be your problem.
Absolutely. I think he went to a 78 tooth. The regular one's a 72 or something like that, whatever. But he went to a bigger for the more torque.
Well, he did probably. Some customization to that.
He did.
What was the
high performance clutch?
The high performance clutch.
You could squeeze my clutch anywhere with the two fingers. That's how light it is. He put the. It looks weird looking.
It looks like a fucking alien.
I took the derby
bike.
Cover off. And I'm like, what the hell?
Yeah, we're like, what the fuck is that?
Anyway, clutch.
Yeah, it works great. But anyway, but that's gonna get repaired as soon as I get my
sure
bike.
It is
going
sure.
in.
Sure,
it's getting repaired.
All right.
So that's all we have for this week, boys and girls. Thank you very much for listening. Don't forget to check us out. You can go to the website, motorcyclemen.us, and there's links to the new host, which is on buzzsprout.com. Just look for that. And what else?
Well,
check out Cycle Gear.
Yes.
Don't forget, Cycle Talk to Chainsaw Genie and Obscene over there in Edison. And also, when you're in Bergen County, New Jersey, you stop in and you say hello to Justin up at Bergen.
Absolutely.
Right? If you do, tell him that you heard me on the show.
Yeah. Yes.
We can chat a little bit. It'd be That's cool right. to know.
Yes, cool.
And gently touch his nipples.
And just in closing.
He did say gently.
I appreciate that it was gently.
In closing, just because I know this has been asked, and today was the first day that I actually tallied it.
What?
Chris said the F word 23 times.
Nice.
Wow.
That's nice. Low. That's low for me.
That is low for you.
It's very low for me.
Yeah. Do you want to kick it up a couple times?
I behave myself.
Want to make it an even 25?
No, it's not natural.
Then. Yeah, it's
not the fucking day.
24.
All right, remember, people.
24. I was wondering what you were writing down before.
I was scribbling.
I was sitting there watching him. I'm like, oh, was he taking notes?
Yeah. Anyway.
Well, remember, people, ride like nobody sees you.
And Chris?
Go fuck yourself.
25!
There it is.
Bing, 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 bing.
All right. And Justin, do you have any final last closing comments?
See? That's the problem I have.
Way to step up to the plate.
Yeah, you know what? Because now that you got me worried about saying that, I don't want to. Wonder how many times I said fuck.
You just said it. No.
Start the counter. No, you know what? I guess if I would say anything, I would just say let's hope that this riding the weather's good to us this year. Let's hope we have an awesome riding season because we know we don't want a washout. We don't want 4 months of rain.
No,
no,
we don't want winter anymore.
Let's hope they fix the potholes that we've.
I'm not going to hold my breath on that one in this state.
Yeah. So good riding, safe riding, good weather, and no potholes.
Yay. All right, ladies and gentlemen, I am Ted Wrongway. And I am saying goodnight with Timbuktu, Chris the Joker, and Justin. Do you have a biker name? Do you have a biker nickname?
Yeah.
Do we have to give him a biker nickname?
Uh-oh. Don't you letting us do it? You're in trouble.
Oh, we have to get...
They called me Beard at work, but that was also when I had my longer beard.
No. He did fib about winning the bike, so we can call him a liar.
Nah, that's not fun. That's not. Yeah.
We could call him fucking liar.
Just in time.
That's my nephew.
Oh, we could call him Loki. Loki was a god of fooling around and always fucking telling lies.
Loki?
Loki?
It doesn't fit.
No. I was never really a nickname guy.
No.
I've never really had a nickname, so it never made sense.
Yeah, right. You know, you wonder why? Because you have a cool fucking first name. Justin.
Justin that works. Brown.
Just in.
Ask me what color my shoes come in.
What color your shoes come in?
Justin Brown.
That's it. You don't need a name.
Shoes.
Shoes.
Justin yeah. Brown shoes.
There you go.
Shoes.
Shoes.
All right, we're here at Justin Brown Shoes, and this is the Motorcycle Men Podcast. Thank you for listening, everyone.
Good night, everyone.
And remember, we
Fuck
say
off.
Stupid shit, so you don't have to.
Yeah.
We can never end a show quietly, can we?
I love it.
Cool. Hope you have fun.